Break time is at 1 hour 22 minutes.
Are you saying that so I'm making a note of that?
I'm putting in the sheet notes. The show notes. Note: me and Noob start talking, and suddenly I realize I can't add people to the call. The call. So you may want to edit that out. Okay, cool. I'm ready to start. Ready?
I'm ready.
Starting in 5, 4, 3. Test.
I want to fucking throw up is what I'm feeling right now.
Alright, starting in 5, 4, 3. Hello and welcome to the Scottcast for the week of the 9th of July 2016. I'm your host, Selkfest Cynic, and joining me today is pretty much just Noobarama. What's up, Noob?
I feel like I'm going to throw up. I think I mentioned this already, but I feel like, oh my god, I don't know. I'm at a low point in my life right now.
Okay, wait. Start from the start.
Oh, well.
What is your situation? Give me the situation.
Okay, so less than two weeks ago, my mom came to visit me from Toronto. I live in Ottawa. And, I think I've described to you sort of the state of disrepair my house has been in.
Well,
have I described this to you?
I've gotten it in bits and pieces. You haven't given me
okay.
Like, one
so I don't think I've given you like the full rundown.
Yeah.
So you know, like pizza boxes stacked on the side, the piles of laundry on the floor.
Uh-huh.
And there were sink or dishes in the sink that were almost 2 months old. And let me... Okay, uh-huh. Wait. So basically what happens is...
So you're saying you're a fucking monster.
I'm a fucking monster. Yeah. And, like, on the floor of the toilet are, like, we're about at 15 rolls of toilet paper. Like, empty rolls of toilet paper. That, of course, I just put on the ground.
What is wrong with you?
Stacked up. And basically, like, the 2 months old dishes, it's, like, by the first... It was, like, not 2 months. It was, like, a month and
so
a half.
Is this your first time living out, like, by yourself?
No.
Did you do this before?
Yes. Well, it never got this bad. Basically, what happened is, I started work, and uh-huh. I made myself dinner, and that was the last time I ate for myself at home in the first week I started work. And basically, what happens is, like, for the first week of not doing those dishes, I was like, can't be bothered. I have shit to do. I have to go out this evening, meet friends, etc.
Uh-huh.
And then by the third or second week, it's sort of like, I don't want to really touch those dishes anymore. Because they're gross. They're fucking 3 weeks old. Who wants to touch 3 week old dishes? And,
on your mic, you're blowing into it, so you might want to back off a little bit. Or it might move your mic boom a little bit. But
by, like, week four, leading into 1 month, it was sort of like I avoided the kitchen entirely, knowing what was in the sink. So I would fill up my water bottle in the bathroom sink rather than the sink over the dirty dishes. And then I just forgot about it, and I just didn't think about it. It's like a bad memory that I'd suppressed.
Like what? So you've described to me the process of where you, like, of that like slow decline into fucking
of human degeneration.
Yeah,
right?
Into like a horrible hellscape that is
so
that was your apartment. But
yeah,
I don't understand. I still, like, even though you've given me the how of it, I still don't understand. Like,
okay, so
it's like when people say, oh, why don't fat people just stop stuffing their fucking faces full of food? Like, I know there's, like, reasons for that. Like, we've discussed it before in the podcast. There's, like, things. But you don't have, like, the excuse of having, like, insulin resistance. You're, like, sitting there going, like, oh, no, I'm just going to continue. I'm just not going to even think about it. I'm just going to keep piling rubbish around myself.
No, but if I had a time machine, right, I would have gone back and cleaned those dishes the day that it happened. But by then, it was too late. Yeah. What was I going to do? Fucking wash those dishes? I would have thrown them out, baby.
Just get gloves.
I did have gloves, but I didn't want to fucking... I didn't know where they were in my house. But basically, yeah, my mom came. She cleaned my entire house.
My God. No, yeah, that didn't happen.
Yes, that didn't happen. That actually happened.
Your mother fucking cleaned your house.
She cleaned the kitchen. She cleaned the kitchen. Like, the rest of the house, like, I basically had to do everything except the laundry.
You disgusting fucking... Your mother came to visit you and then ended up being the one who had to stop...
No, wait. I would like to, like, clarify that the purpose of the trip for her was to make food and, like, take care, like, check if I'm living as a human being. Like, she's been to my city multiple times to visit and do things. Mm-hmm. And we ended up going, hanging out because it was Canada Day on July 1st, and we went to go see fireworks. It was very nice. But,
So you treated her after the fireworks to a good, like, cleaning of a house routine?
No. It was the cleaning of the house, and then she treated me to dinner, and then she came back and finished.
Did she clean your fucking house, but you didn't have the decency to fucking treat her to dinner?
No, I offered, and she said, don't worry about it.
You piece of shit.
No.
You piece of garbage.
Also, like, we went to go shopping for groceries twice so she could cook meals for me, and I paid for at least one of those times.
Uh-huh. You are such trash. I go to my parents' place and I like help around the house. It's like,
oh yeah, when I go back
opposite.
To my fucking,
you know,
dad's
people are like the opposite of what you're doing.
Wait, can I just fucking clarify that when I live with my dad, I did the laundry for both of us. I cooked the meals for both of us. I did the dishes for both of us, and I cleaned the house. So it's not like I'm a degenerate. Period. It's just that, you know, if my dad had come to my house, I would have had to done all that shit by myself.
Yeah, so obviously, because it's your mother, you had to just let her do it.
Yeah, I'm a mommy's boy.
You're a piece of shit.
But basically, the reason I feel shit now is because I had gone out for dinner and drinks earlier, and I came home, and my friend was messaging me that she was, you know, like, going to have s'mores and things like that. And I'm like, oh, now I kind of want sweets. So I walked out to the grocery store and bought myself a cake.
Well, that's just an adult thing to do. Like,
the thing is, right, it's fucking 9 p.m., and I was walking in the rain, for 10 minutes to go to the grocery store to buy cake. That was the only purpose of that journey, of being in the rain for 10 minutes, both walking back and forth. And I went to the bakery section of the grocery, and of course, fucking no one's there, because it's 9 p.m. on a Saturday night. And there's some guy cleaning. I'm like, is the cake section still open? And he fucking looks at me and he's like, yeah, it's open. And I'm like, good. I'd like to order a cake, please. And he goes to the back and I got this fucking... I got a smaller size cake, but I got like the Oreo kind of cake. You know what an Oreo cake is? It has like Oreo bits and things like that in the cake.
Right.
And normally what happens is when you order a cake, they'll ask you, oh, do you want like a happy birthday message or like a, you know, like a little chocolate thing that says, you know, happy Father's Day or whatever. And no, he just looked me in the eyes and he thought, this guy's going to be eating this cake alone in front of his computer. And he was right. And so I bought the cake. And
this just hours ago?
This was 40 minutes ago.
Oh my God.
And yeah, so here I am looking at this cake, feeling mildly sick.
Here's my review of your life at the moment. So, it all comes down to this. What is your house like now?
It's so clean. It looks like a human being has lived here.
Okay, like are you maintaining? Is that the upshot?
It's only
here?
Been a week, so yes, I have been maintaining. There are dishes in the sink right now that haven't been washed in 2 days, but I'm gonna wash them tomorrow. I have it written on my computer right now on a post-it note.
Watch dishes.
I have.
Wait, at some point, it's like, do you have a dishwasher?
No.
Oh, well, okay, right. I thought most places just came with one nowadays.
No, if I had a fucking dishwasher, it would still be the same because I wouldn't want to put the dishes into the dishwasher. But basically, my clothes are hung. They've been washed.
By your mother. Like, let's not be. Let's not pretend like you've done anything about this. Like, it's
well, so fucking, it's unproven. Like, you know, I'd like to say, like, it's not like I've never done laundry for the year I've been living.
Yeah, that doesn't matter though. It's like. Oh,
no, I have 5 dress shirts and 3 dress pants that I wash. Those are the only things I wash because I need to wear them for work.
It's like, that's isn't it. Bob and such I'll a good learn, worker? He's really nice and really considerate. And then he goes back to his house and he's got like a fucking 5, like 20, like 18-year-old women in a dungeon in his basement. Like, it's like, it's got nothing to do. These two things have nothing to do with it. Like, you being good around your parents or your dad's place has nothing to do with you actually being capable of fucking maintaining your own life. And just, like, living space.
It's just a lot of effort, you know? It's just
I know.
A lot of effort.
You know how I know? Because I do it. I live by myself, and I maintain my house like a normal fucking person.
I think that was in the realm of normality, I would argue. Within the range. If normality was a spectrum, I would still be
what's the acceptable amount of toilet rolls in your bathroom to that, like, defines normal? Noob.
How many?
Zero. Wait. Zero used fucking rolls in your bathroom. How many did you have?
Like, more than a dozen on the floor. And
how do you even go through that much toilet paper? What are you doing in there?
That's what happens when you fucking use your toilet paper. Firstly,
you
I fucking 12 shit.
Rolls in a month?
Wait, I shit more than twice a day because, like, the only fucking joys in my life are eating cake and taking a shit. And sometimes, that's only sometimes, right? Because I can't shit outside of my house. And, like, if I'm just taking a shit and I go out of my way to take a shit, I'm not going to go clean it up afterwards.
I can't believe you went through... It takes me, like, a month to go through a toilet roll.
Fucking crazy. What?
Yeah. I don't want to go into the mechanics of how we use toilet paper, but it sounds to me like you're just... Do you get multiply? Like, do you at least get, like, 4-ply?
No, I...
Because you use less if you get higher plies.
I just use a lot of toilet paper, I think. Like...
Yeah, that's obvious.
You know, some people do the fucking, like, fold it over after you wipe once.
Absolutely fold.
Yeah,
you
I don't
fucking
do that.
Use
I
your toilet that. Paper properly.
Toilet paper, like, I'll go through, like, a $7, like, pack of toilet paper in a couple months. I'm okay with that. Like, 3 months.
That's, alright, sure. Sure. There are more problems in your life than toilet paper. Like, I can focus on that one if I want to, but, like, there's other shit happening.
That was
anyway.
About it. Everything else was okay. Everything was clean.
Man. I'm just looking around my room now. Like, the only thing that's not tidy in my room is my bed. My bed, I never bother, like, setting my sheets in the morning.
What a fucking monster. You're
I
fucking
know.
Degenerate.
Everything else is like...
I've not done that since I was in second grade when my dad gave up trying to teach me good habits.
I see, like... Everything, like, I'm just looking around, and I've just got, like, I don't know, things are stacked, and, like, in order, I don't know, man, and it's not because I'm in the military, like, it's just, I think normal people tend to live in a relative, not perfect condition, but, like, a relatively tidy household.
Part of it is, I don't have a light bulb in my room that works, other than this desk lamp, and when it's at night, I can't really see
the
garage.
Wait. Why do you have a fucking light in your house that doesn't work?
No, I
that
have...
works, sorry.
The one in my kitchen works. The one in my bathroom works.
Uh-huh.
The one the room that's... There's literally no place to have a light there, so there's no light in one of those rooms. But in my bedroom, like, the light went out in November of 2015, and I haven't fucking replaced it yet. So I've been just using a desk lamp.
In your room?
In my room.
In the place you spend most of your time.
Well, no.
At home.
That's not true.
At home?
At home, yeah. At home.
Yeah.
Other than the bathroom.
Mm. Clearly. But, all right, we're going to move on. I don't know. You're not salvageable. This is the thing. Like, you know the errors of your ways. And, like, it's not like you're fucking incapable of doing self-analysis. Like, you know you're a fucking
piece of
shit.
There's no fucking rats or cockroaches in my house, so that's fine.
Yet...
I mean, yet now it's the cleanest it's ever been. So, like, I've already hit the fucking base minimum of human living standards.
I don't know.
Like, you see those documentaries with where people are like crouched over a garbage heap, like taking out garbage and then bringing it back home. Like, that is on par with the life I lived. And there were no fucking insects other than like a spider. One spider I saw. And spiders aren't that bad.
No, spiders are fine. Spiders are fine.
No.
Anyway. So we're going to move on to news, because apparently that's our first segment of the week.
Yes.
It's just me and you, so it's probably going to be pretty quick. First news topic, and this is an interesting one. I'm not sure if you're looking at the Google Doc or not, but Nintendo didn't... Like, Nintendo's most successful game in quite a while wasn't made by Nintendo. It's kind of like the total of it, but like the news topic itself was Nintendo shares soar due to Pokemon Go. That's the news topic.
I thought you were gonna... Okay, so let's talk about Pokemon Go a little bit. Because, like, people are fucking crazy over this shit.
Oh,
that's all
my
I
God.
See on my chats, on Facebook.
Not even that.
On fucking Skype. And it's just like, look at me, I'm fucking on Pokemon while on vacation on the other side of the world.
My friend went on a date with his girlfriend yesterday, right? And they spent their entire date walking through the city, stopping off places to capture things in Pokemon Go together.
Fucking, that's the degeneration of the human soul.
Well, I don't think you're even remotely capable of being in a position to call anyone a degenerate.
Know a degenerate when I see one. Did you
see
that?
One. Takes one to know one, right? That's the whole deal.
Takes one to know one. Did you see that story of the girl who was playing Pokemon Go and she found a dead body?
No.
Yes.
No, that didn't happen.
So in fucking Wyoming. No. It's on the news. Wyoming. Let's see. Wyoming.
Holy shit.
Pokemon Go. Okay, let's see.
Was it recently deceased?
What is this? Local news in Wyoming. Wyoming teen scared and shaken after finding dead man while playing Pokemon Go, mother says. This was yesterday. This is in rural Wyoming. It led a teenager to discover a deceased man in a river.
Holy shit. Holy cow.
Wiggins started playing Thursday night, catching 50 virtual animals as she walked through a parking lot and a gas station. On Friday morning, she grabbed her iPhone and slipped on a pair of sandals. That's how fucked up it is. On a Friday morning, you fucking wake up to go outside to catch fucking Pokemon. Then she took a short walk.
Is it school holidays?
She's 19. So yeah, she
would be 19.
So, explore. You know, so not only are you waking up early, period, you're waking up early on a fucking school summer vacation to go find Pokemon.
I don't have a point. Like, that's... See, the people getting out of their house and, like, doing stuff is not my problem with Pokemon Go.
That's not my... My problem is that it's, like, so fucking... They're so obsessed with it.
Yes.
Like, that's the only reason that would motivate them to do something.
It's kind of absurd. Like, the level of... Like, Pokemon, I don't know if... Like, stop me if I'm wrong here, but it hasn't actually been that relevant for quite a while. Like, it's...
No.
Like, in Japan...
Well, then again, we are not the Pokemon demographic.
Well, I am, because I buy every Pokemon game, one of every generation. I still buy a game of every generation, but it's... I don't know if the TV series is even remotely as popular as it used to be. It couldn't be. It couldn't possibly be as popular as it used to be, because it's now, like... I don't see kids walking around with, Pikachu stuff frequently.
This is an amazingly well-written... I'm just going to read a little bit of an excerpt, because it's like they threw this out as a narrative. Then she took a short walk to explore the Big Wind River, which winds behind her home in the town of Riverton. I was trying to get a water Pokemon, she explained. The game cautions users to keep aware of their surroundings, but like most players, Wiggins stared intently at her phone as she made her way beneath the Wyoming Highway 789 bridge. She spotted two deer near the water, but still no Pokemon. So she walked down into the rocky riverbank. She didn't immediately notice the man's body lying face down in the water, six feet to her left. I guess I was only paying attention on my phone and where I was walking.
That's like an episode from like a Sherlock Holmes, like fucking like modern Sherlock Holmes sketch. Like the opening, CSI. It's the start of a CSI fucking episode.
That's Wiggins, incredible. Who is working at Dairy Queen for the summer before starting college in Arizona, said she still plans to keep playing Pokemon Go to explore her central Wyoming town.
That moment of, I just wanted to catch a water Pokemon, it makes me think, like, they somehow just brought Pokemon into our world. Like, that's, we're just now living in the Pokemon world. This stuff happens every other day. This is what policeman chick. This is, like, her daily. This is her, like, going up to this chick who's in a river next to a dead body, going, I just wanted to catch a water Pokemon. Just a fucking, just like with like a chunks eaten out of him, like just fucking like, yeah, a dead body, like, oh, anyway,
that's just awesome. A rotting, bloated, watery corpse.
So I have, like, my friend has like pictures of various like really like popular sections of Sydney, which is like, right, masses of people standing around looking at their phones.
Yeah, it's so really fucked weird. Up.
And like, it's not like people don't just, like, walk around looking at their phones normally, no, right? But, like, he went to places and then just battled people for, like, half an hour. Like, apparently there's, like some form of, like, point system about, like, levels and stuff. After, like, a day, he had, like, level 700 Pokemon. Fuck. Because he just, like, fucking... I think it's kind of cool, though. Honestly, like, I actually kind of... It's if it was a
no,
better
it's otherwise
game.
Normal people. It's otherwise normal people doing, yeah, ridiculous things. And it's just the problem is, yeah, you mentioned it, like you were just saying it before I cut you off. If it was a better game,
yeah,
it would be totally acceptable.
It would be totally, yeah, cool. This is like one step in the direction of like the inevitable future where everyone, like most people at least sometimes play video games.
Yeah.
Probably on their phone. And there will be games like this. Like, if you imagine how big Monster Hunter was in Japan, and how like everyone on public transport was playing Monster Hunter, I can see like this being the slow avenue towards that. Like, I don't know if it's going to be Pokemon that does it, but like, we're getting to the point where like this is life now. This is reality. This is the world where you walk around and people are just like standing around playing video games together. And that's pretty cool. I don't know. This is something
and
nice
I think
about that.
Fucking murderers need to watch out now where they dump their bodies. They need to be on Pokemon Go to know where the Pokemon aren't. And that's where you fucking dump your shit.
Yeah. That's how you know your shit's hidden. If it doesn't come up as like a popular gym, like a gym in Pokemon Go.
Right. So
it's sadly took Niantic to fucking make this. Like, yeah. Nintendo could have done this five years ago if they were
and
just
could
remotely.
Have been like the cutting edge.
Yeah.
Of, but no. Let's wait. Wait. Let's wait until like just wait.
So Niantic's, yeah, it's San Francisco, U.S. It's like a U.S. company that just made what's his face. That not Resistance. They have another game that they're really popular for, which is essentially the same thing. Like you're just taking over spots in the real world.
Yeah.
This is Pokemon Go is just a reskinned version of that, essentially, but with Pokemon.
Yeah.
Ingress. That's it. So they made Ingress, and now they just reskinned it essentially with Pokemon Go. The only thing I like about Pokemon Go that I've seen is that when you get eggs, you actually have to walk that distance to get the egg to hatch. That's wow. Cute. That's cute. So it's like my friend has a bunch of Poke eggs. And it's like 10 kilometers. You have to walk 10 kilometers for this thing to hatch. So,
honestly, like, if I liked Pokemon, I would have probably gone out more often. But I don't give a shit, so.
I like Pokemon, but, like, it needs to... So, things only have
but
three
But you like
attacks.
The game. You like the game.
Yeah.
You just don't like only the fucking characters. And
exactly,
the idea
no.
That they just
yeah.
Pop up
Pokemon
go,
are
no.
A tool with which I slowly take over the competitive scene within the world of Pokemon.
Yeah.
I become... The master. That is the end goal of Pokemon. It's not about friendship. It's not about like fucking raising something you
no,
care
it's,
about.
It's
no.
Literally got to catch them all Pokemon.
See that starter Pokemon? If it doesn't make the cut, it's not my final team. I don't give a fuck. I don't give a
throw,
fuck about that starter
throw
Pokemon.
The Pokemon into a fucking pit of waste.
Yep.
Not good.
Anyway, I'm happy for people.
Yeah. I thought you were going to talk about a different Nintendo story. I don't know if you've heard this. Have you heard about this thing about the Wii U?
Negative.
That their projected sales were 100 million units.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Internal projections.
I didn't know that. That's rough.
100 million units.
Oh, man, that's rough.
100 million. Do you know how many units they actually sold?
I don't think they've even made 20 million. Have they made 20?
They made 13 million.
Oh, my God. Whatever. Like, the Wii U is just like that. It's like making fun of a retard. It's not cool. It's not cool. We all know it's a retard. We all know this it's worthy of being made fun of.
This is a quote from the fucking Nintendo president. You know, internal sales representative meeting.
Don't do
someone
it in Japanese.
Projected that we would sell close to 100 million Wii U systems worldwide. The thinking was that because the Wii sold well, the Wii U would follow suit.
Oh, man. Hopefully the NX is good. I doubt it. But hopefully. That's happening more and more recently. Of like, I hope X is good. I doubt it. But I hope X is good. This has happened in multiple pieces of hardware.
And it's not.
Recently,
and it's not. And,
yeah, it doesn't end up particularly good. We'll get to that in a bit. Next up. Next piece of news. Did you see this CSGO thing?
Yes. My friends really like H3H3. I don't. But I did see it.
H3H3 is like the dude who outed them, right?
The
dude who caught like something Honor the Call or what the fuck's...
Yeah, he based it on the research by that guy, yeah.
Yeah. Can you tell me what the fuck this is about?
If you've heard of the game Counter-Strike Global Offensive, it's a game released by Valve in 2012, and it's a giant fucking scheme to make children spend money on skins. And out of this entire sort of game platform for marketing shit to children came sort of like independent websites where you can bet your CSGO skins that are worth like anywhere from 30 cents to literally $1,000.
$4,000. Like some of them are ridiculous.
Yeah. They're fucking ridiculous. And basically these sites, or one of these big sites, was owned by two famous YouTubers, co-owned by two famous YouTubers who like make their money on YouTube, or like their attention, by opening up skins and then reacting to them and betting them online. Because apparently that's a thing. Apparently, not only have we gone from fucking watching games instead of playing games, we've also gone from that to watching people watching people gambling. And their reactions.
People gambling on
literally
video
watching
game
people
items.
Gambling and their reactions, except now instead of just watching people gambling, it's watching people gambling, not really because they own, they're the dealer and they get to choose sort of who wins.
So that's like the shady part. So like,
yes.
Okay, so there's like multiple steps of things I wasn't aware of in the gaming industry that happened to be a thing. First step, I didn't know that skins were like exchangeable for Steam, like money, like actual Steam money. So that's a thing. So apparently, like, yeah, you can actually buy and sell them for Steam bucks, which is essentially real money, like real currency, because you can spend it as real money on Steam. And then the next like step removed from that is like, oh, there's these betting sites. I didn't. How is that even like? It's barely. This is like the edge case of legal. Like, I know it's legal because it's like they're digital goods. There's like all these like random weird loopholes that allow it to be fine. Like, there's literal betting sites where people are actually gambling. Like, not kind of gambling. Like, this is, like, literally putting bits, like essentially, like, as if there were chips, like, fucking skins on the table and it going through some, like, random fucking thing. And then you might get more valuable skins in return or whatever. I don't know if it's PvP. Like, I assume some of them are PvP. I don't know.
I know some you can bet on games themselves, like professional matches and see who wins.
Oh my God.
Others, it's sort of like, it's literally a coin toss, which is borderline retarded.
That's in itself like really fucking weird and shady. Like, I didn't know that was a thing. And like the idea of that, like for me, the closest I've ever gotten to gambling, and this is like real, cause I don't actually, aside from like 5 cent poker, I'm talking about like one step above 5 cent poker is salty bet. That's the closest I've gotten. And that was like adorable because it's just fucking, none of it was real. Everyone knew it was bullshit. The only time you'd ever exchange real money for it was when you were at least wanting to look at stats. And the stats, using the stats to try to determine outcomes was almost more interesting and fun than actually betting. And that whole, like, the whole rise and fall and continual, like, persistence of salty bet was awesome, right?
Yeah.
And I didn't think, it never crossed my mind that it'd be, like, a, like, betting is fun, that's obvious.
But yeah.
But it's, the beauty about video games is that they're not real. Like, that's, I can play something like a, I don't know, fucking poker in a video game and just play with, you know, fake money and all that kind of stuff and have that fun of betting without actually losing or gaining money in real life. And that's, like, part of the beauty of it. So the idea that's crossed over, and I know, like, online gambling is real. Like, you can do actual
real money
poker.
Yeah, you can play poker, gambling, etc. Yeah.
Yeah. But, like, that actually meshing into video games, I find kind of weird and kind of, like, taking away the safety that's associated with video games.
Yeah, and I mean, part of it is, like, part of the one, the big, other than the fact that they totally fucking lied and rigged it, is sort of, like, this appeals specifically to not just, like, adults. It appeals to, like, teenagers, to kids. Literally, it's like gambling, except the only barrier to entry is you click a checkbox certifying that you're over the age of 13, which is, like...
Like, what the fuck? Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
I don't... So... Yeah, it's weird, because, like, you get the skins in the game by paying real money, and you get a box, and then you get a random generator, you can get a skin, and then you bet those skins online to try and get more... And it's just this weird, like... I can see how... Like, I can see the train of legality. Like, I can see it all being fine along the way. But once you start baby-stepping into, no, you can have these 13-year-olds actually gambling, that's kind of weird. But then, like, the other half of it is, wait, but, like, what's the real difference if they're not putting in money themselves, right? It's their parents'
money. Right, but, I mean, that's even more fucked up because there's, like, a fucking... like, morally gray sort of line there, because that...
Like, what's the difference between video games and reality if everything's digital and you're still not spending your own money? You're spending your parents' money, ostensibly, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's... Is it fine? Like, is... If you're not... If it's... Is 13-year-olds gambling fine? That's my question to you. I haven't even gotten to the actual core of the dot. Like, you mentioned it a couple times, but we'll get there. Is 13... But in terms of, like, the problem people have with this, is 13-year-olds gambling fine?
No.
What's wrong with it? Because I don't really get it. Like,
what's wrong with it is... Okay, here's, like, from sort of that kind of ethical viewpoint, is that, one, they're not going to be gambling with their own money, right? And it's the sense of, I forget what the term is, when you do things without an actual loss to yourself.
Right.
I forget what the term, there's a term for it. I completely forgot. Like using other people's sort of items as like collateral, basically.
Yeah.
And not being able to establish that connection between like something goes wrong in a bet. It's not that you can either gain something or you just lose this person's money that doesn't really matter to you.
Right.
Like, not being able to establish that losing is like you genuinely are making a loss for yourself. Mm-hmm. But you can't make that connection because it's not your fucking money, right? Mm-hmm. And if you – I think if you build up with that mindset, that's probably not a good thing at age 13.
I don't know. Because like
growing up and then just being able to fucking throw all of your money away.
But I don't know if that translates because of that disassociation. Like, I'm not sure if that translates to like a 13-year-old who bets on CSGO becoming like a 29-year-old who bets on horse racing. Like, I don't see that like equivalency, because the latter is actually you losing your own money. And that's like a that's legitimate. That's how people go bankrupt. Like, it's like it's obvious, right? Putting aside the fact that these parents are doing a terrible job by giving their kids, like, shitloads of money to spend on fucking randomized boxes in CSGO. Like, putting that aside, because, like, that's... We can't... Like, people are idiots. Like, parents are stupid. They let anyone be a parent, so clearly there's going to be a crapshoot there. But, like... Yeah, I don't know if there's a real problem there. Because what's the difference between that and them just playing, like, fake online poker? Like... I don't...
Because it's real money. I think that's fundamentally the idea of, like, putting real money at the risk.
But it's not real money anymore. It's not real money anymore.
No, 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 but you had to buy those skins. It's the same way. No, but in the same way, it's the same as buying chips at a casino for money and then using those. It just, the way you cash it out is entirely different.
But you can't cash it out. That's the difference.
Well, you can cash it out into Steam dollars.
Yeah, but that's like, yeah, but that's still like, that's all the money is still stayed within the realms of Valve. Like, it's all still gone. It's all still not yours.
But you can get things that are like, and for example, in other countries like Japan, when you actually gamble, you don't gamble and get money back because gambling is illegal. You can use those chips to buy other things, but it's still gambling because it's things you could otherwise buy with money. Yeah. You're just using as a substitute for, as a different method of transaction.
Oh, yeah, I don't actually like. Yeah. Doubt the fact that this is gambling, but I don't know if I can't resolve for myself. I don't know how I feel about this in terms of it actually being real gambling or not, because like you have the same, you'll have exactly the same problems with like people getting addicted to it and all that kind of stuff. But at the same time, like the economy of it is different because it's money that's already been spent, right? It's money that's already in the system. Like it's at some point, it doesn't even matter.
Right, the term is moral hazard, where you take risks where someone else bears the cost of the risks. Right. That's it. That's what I'm thinking of.
So, yeah, like, it's... In the end, that money is all, like, they're just shifting stuff within Valve's coffers. Mm-hmm. It doesn't actually matter. Like, it's... No one's actually winning or losing except for Valve, who's gaining. Like, that's...
Right, but, I mean, like, there's nothing wrong with the thing inherently. It's just wrong that, like, kids can do it. Like, 13-year-old kids using their parents' money.
But can kids just play, like, fucking... I know what the equivalent would be because I don't gamble on pretty much anything for myself. But
but I think like you have to, for those sites, you have to set up like a separate PayPal account. You have to. I'm pretty sure there's ID requirements because they're like mandated legally to provide something.
I
like
assume
that.
They're ones that are just like not actual money at all. Like they're just just
and also like there's a difference between and then having them spend their parents' money like that and sort of like
that's like a whole nother fucking like parents not. Fucking actually raising their kids properly is a problem that will exist forever. Because again, they let anyone be a parent.
But yeah, I have no problem with the fact that this exists. Like the idea of like being able to gamble skins online.
It was revelatory to me.
More than just a checkbox. Just have something a little bit more than a checkbox.
Yeah, exactly. Like if it's revelatory. It was revelatory to me in its existence. I didn't know that was like one of the many facets of this news story I found interesting. But you're right. Like it's. I don't think there's anything inherently wrong with it. For the same reasons, there's nothing necessarily inherently wrong with, like, fake gambling websites. Or even necessarily, like, real gambling. Like, it's...
There's a problem. Unless you have a fucking problem. There's no problem. Yeah.
Pretty much. And then just do what you want with it. Like, I don't fucking do it. But, any person out there, you are capable of making your own decisions.
No. Like, I like playing I like playing poker with money on the line with my friends. Like, I'm not going to go to Vegas and spend my money.
That's fine.
But... That's fine. That's totally fine if you want to.
So that's like one facet of it. Then you get the final part with like, okay. Yeah.
Which is the key part that's morally wrong.
Yeah, this is like...
Let's just paraphrase this by saying, this is really fucked up and I hope these people bear the full brunt of the legal force.
This is like morally bad in a way that's like so hilariously unassailable. Yeah. That it's not even like a real news topic. It's like, yes, this is bad. We can all agree this is bad. Let's move on. It's like hilariously dumb how obviously shady this is and how like badly they got fucking outed. So these dudes, yeah, you're right. Like as you introduced before, I've forgotten the names and I don't really care. Essentially, between them, they have like over 10 million subscribers on YouTube. Hey, surprise, YouTube's a big place. And they have essentially, they put up videos of them winning things like, oh, how to win $13,000 in 15 minutes by betting on CSGO, on CSGO skins and like stuff like that, where they'd have monetized videos. Like we're talking about multiple revenues, like avenues of being shady here, monetized videos that are like, didn't reveal the fact that they were even sponsored, like nothing, like no links to the ownership of the websites they were using to gamble were shown. So like you literally have like a like shots of them, of a dude going, "Oh hey, I just found this website, and I hadn't gotten in contact with the owners, and they said they might do some sponsorships with me for skins in the future to bet on their website. But like, I found this website, and I want to see what happens if you like if you bet on it, and like what you can win."
Yeah, yeah.
There.
So it's like, yeah. So the site was CS:GO Lotto or something like that, and basically, like, yeah, the guy on the video was like, "Look at this cool site I found. Check it out. Whoa, this is really cool. I just found this on the internet." Yeah. And then, of course, this guy owns the site. He incorporated the business.
That's the beauty of it, because at the start, yeah, it's always like, "Oh, yeah, no, I just found this website. Hey, this is better on the blah, blah, blah." That was like 2015. That was like last year, right? That was like August or something last year, or some relatively recent time frame. And then it gets like down to like, "Oh, they do multiple videos, like him and this other dude keep using the site, they keep plugging the site." And then it comes out that like, "Oh wait, no. Not only did he like bet on this site, he like him and this other dude, he is the president of the site." He's the president, yep. And the other dude is like the fucking vice president of the website. So undisclosed, which is illegal, right?
Yes.
Like connections to something you're showing, like you're trying to promote.
He says, "No, it's all been disclosed. You had to read the descriptions." And what he had done is gone back to all of his videos after seeing this and added a thing saying, "Disclaimer, I own this website."
Yeah. So like, originally there was no disclaimer, and then after he got outed, he actually went back and added disclaimers, not realizing that, hey, this is the fucking internet. Nothing goes away,
right?
And there's like archival websites that you can actually just go back to and see the difference of him having like the original video than him editing in the disclaimer. And the guy is like so fucking self-assured. Like, he's one of those like, I forget his name, is the blonde dude, right? Not the Irish or whatever, the other guy. The first video he put out in response was like him being indignant that someone had like accused him of being shady, right? And it's like,
yeah,
just like totally like going off on this smaller channel, going, like, "Oh yeah, like they don't know what I'm talking about. Of course I've been transparent this whole time, blah blah blah." It's like, how he goes as far as to say, "How can you sleep at night accusing someone, like making baseless accusations against someone?" Oh my god! It's humorous. It's humorously stupid. Like, how absurd, like, this whole situation.
And he's made so much money off of these. He made a video talking about how he got all these good things, like owning a mansion and a fucking like sports car or whatever through his Counter-Strike thing. And I hope they fucking repo every single one of that. Like, fuck! Yeah. I cannot wait to watch the fucking hammer of a class action lawsuit crushing his skull.
Like this,
that would
but
be
this can go
so
either way.
Funny.
Like, this can go either way. I would have a great time internally if he gets away with his scot-free. I'm absolutely fine with that, because it would be such a beautiful end to this story. Because like, fuck it, the online gambling scene and the online like monetization of digital goods scene is fucked. And if he gets away with his scot-free, that just like underlines, hey, it's fucked. And that's important.
It needs regulation, yeah.
Yeah, that's important.
But I'm
like,
just hoping this gets picked up. More mainstream news, and then that doesn't happen. They'll just fucking crush his skull between class action lawsuits.
Yeah. So there's been one lawsuit filed already by this, like, this mother of this son, this dude, one of the dude, like, just a random fan.
Well, there's a bunch of lawyers that on PC Gamer that were, or no, a bunch of lawyers did an AMA on Reddit, and they said that this is clearly illegal and morally, not even like a moral aspect, just like, it's like some parts are legally gray, other parts are like,
at a minimum, like, not disclosing your financial ties to someone you are advertising is illegal. But that's actually illegal. I don't know what the punishment would be. Like, at some point, like, is he just rich enough to just shrug it all off? Like, I don't fucking know anymore.
Well, they would have to evaluate the size of his business, his potential earnings on YouTube.
Well, some people were throwing around, and I don't know where the sources were, but estimates of like that these like CS:GO Lotto, where the fuck it was, would be pulling like $250,000 a month.
Yeah,
so just absurd money. Is going. I don't know, like, if that's actually. I don't even know how that works, because again, like all profits made by them would be in Steam dollars.
But the thing is, I can't. It would be tough to imagine if like there is, like you things go to key resellers and things like that that you could actually make real money.
That's the thing. Like, these guys have to be flipping this stuff on keys. These guys have to be flipping keys. Yeah.
And it's like the laundering part is fucking gray and horrible. Well,
I don't even know if that's gray or not, because that just sounds fine to me. Like I have no like in the end there's only one copy of the product. It's like you're not pirating. Like
not that sense of like reselling keys is bad, in the sense of sort of like once you make that distinction that this can actually be turned into real money, that becomes actual gambling and raw.
Yeah,
in
well,
a
yeah.
standpoint. Yeah.
If it becomes like, oh no, this is like legitimately made, may as well be 1-to-1 real dollars.
Exactly.
That's interesting. And it makes me like interested in like what those kids would be doing. Like those 13-year-olds who like put in $25, happened to get a good skin, then turned that into like a multi-thousand-dollar inventory of skins.
So fucked. Kids don't play video games anymore. They either gamble skins or watch people gambling skins. These are the things children do when they play video games.
It's weird. Like it got me thinking of like how different the world is now that free-to-play games are so big. Like CS:GO is a free-to-play game, right? It's like
no, you have to pay.
Is it? I thought it was.
Yeah, you have to. It's buy once.
Oh, yeah. Well, fine. So yeah, buy
it's
once.
It's like $17 though. It's not like a big hurdle, right?
Because like, at a minimum, like games with like ongoing microtransactions. Like for when we were young. Right, we'd get a game, and that would essentially be it.
That was it, in a box. And sometimes it would have an expansion pack.
And it's and that's pretty much it. Like fucking Guild Wars 1. Like, I put a lot of hours into that, but that's, you buy a game, and then a couple months later, you buy an expansion, and that just keeps going. And it's weird. Like, this is the world now. This is the world where kids can buy a game for $17 and then like just fucking play that game forever. And I don't know.
And I totally get the appeal of skins, and like it looks cool, and if you invest a lot of time into it, that's fine, right? If you invest a lot of time, you want to like get something cool, that's fine. But to have the entire game be around skins, like the entire enjoyment of the games around like getting and earning skins, it's the same industry, the same sort of like hobby. No, seriously,
I'm with you.
You've gone from playing the game for the enjoyment out of it to sort of the adrenaline rush of gambling. And that's just like, whoa, okay.
Yeah.
Is this what this is now?
It's part of it now. Like, it's unescapable. It's inescapable, sorry, that this is now part of video games. This is now part of our industry. In a way, unlike anything else. Like books never went this direction. I can tell you that. Well, collector's books, but, like, that's not quite the fucking same thing. Like, movies didn't go this way.
Gambling collector's books.
This is, like, the first time, like a purely, like, entertainment medium has become,
I guess sports would be the closest.
Yeah, right, sports would be the closest. Because betting is part of sports.
I mean, you have fucking sports like cards, right? You have hockey cards or football cards. Well,
not even that's fantasy. Not, like fantasy sports is fantasy, a bad thing.
But I mean, it's like that's specifically the enjoyment of combining your game with the money. Here it's just skins, like things that have no actual value of anything.
Yeah, really? At all.
That are entirely pegged by Valve.
The pure determining factor is like, in most of the cases, the skins look dumb. Like, the only thing that's
fucking shit. Supply and demand. It's purely supply
pure,
and demand.
Like, rarity and scarcity determining value. And then you have that value becoming the item. Like, the fact that it's a skin doesn't even matter anymore. It's just about the fact that it's rare. It's weird. And this is part of this is now part of gaming and always will be. Going forward, until it's regulated. I wonder if it's regulated, if that changes like the direction of skins and stuff going forward.
And you know what's the best part is, right? In an MMO or like a fucking MOBA, you get a skin. Your entire character's wearing very visibly different things.
Yeah.
Here it's literally a fucking gun that you're not going to see except for like 30 seconds in a round. And the only person who really sees the skin is yourself. So that, for me, that also has... Like, it's just relatively speaking, weird, like, man. It's just so weird. Like, especially like a knife skin or a pistol skin, something you're going to have for like the first two rounds and then never use, really.
Man.
What?
Anyway. So, this is clearly shady. Like, the whole upshot of it is clearly shady. We will link, as part of our plugs section, if you look at our show notes, the link to H3H3's video, which is probably the most.
It's very well done. It's really
It's I don't particularly enjoy his manner. Like
I don't like him. Like he went from making funny videos to like being an internet investigative star. And throughout the entire whole transition, I don't like him. Yeah. But like it is something yeah, the information and sort of what he reveals is very worth seeing, I think.
He clearly has some practice doing like how to actually maintain a interesting story through a video. Like the gap between it continues to be funny to me. This is another facet of this, right? So YouTube and what YouTube is now in the world is that this highlighted a couple of things to me. One, reaction videos. It is really funny how reaction videos is such a huge deal on YouTube. Not to say I'm not like a fan of it myself. Like I watched like Easy Allies watching the Sony press conference. Like it's fun watching people react to things. But like you're right. The idea of people sitting around watching a dude literally betting, like just gambling and winning or losing or whatever.
And it's not like poker. It's not like watching poker where there's like
there's no skill. There's no skill involved.
It's a coin toss. And all the reaction is, oh my god, I got the skill. Oh my god, that's crazy.
Oh my god. And then he'd be shouting and like fucking jumping up and down and running like.
That was all a fucking act. That's all a fucking act. And
yeah, because he owns the website.
And even if it's fucking real, it's like insane. It's like, why would you watch that? That has no... I don't know.
Yeah, it's like, just this weird deferred enjoyment, like vicarious enjoyment, and like
it's like I can't fucking have these experiences of being excited for anything, so I have to watch this person do it. And it'd be one thing if it was like predominantly like 50-year-old depressed people, right? Man, but it's like fucking kids. That's what kids watch when they could be doing fucking cool shit. But no,
oh man, they could be actually playing the video games. I'm like now 50-50 on like how much I watch video games versus play video games. But that's because I'm like very specific about what games I play. If I was just like a person who enjoys something like CS:GO, like I don't see the point. I don't see it. So that was one side of it, and then the other side of it is like this YouTube investigatory like realm.
Yeah. Becoming so big as a result of you like stuff like this existing. Naturally, there's gonna be, you know, fucking people who are like, oh, we gotta call out the shit.
Funny. Like this like people like it's funny because you're seeing the startings of what will likely be a thing going forward. Right. Like I can see like H3H3 in like 2025, like, oh, look what I found out about the US president. Like it could be this is it. Because you're essentially democratizing investigative journalism.
Yeah.
In a really dumb way that shouldn't be a thing.
No, it should not. But it is.
It is now. Because, like, say someone just, like, happened to know the president's, like, ex-girlfriend or whatever.
Right.
And all you have to do is, like, interview her on YouTube. And you're going to get millions and millions of views and get money. And, like, you just have this, like, fucking pimply 28-year-old dude. I don't know why I said pimply and 28. Sure, I'm just imagining he has pimples. Fine. A pimply 28-year-old dude with, like, no education on, like, how to actually be a journalist. Just interviewing some chick going, oh, I've got some... In today's video, I'm going to be... just like, oh, like and subscribe. Oh, it's the worst. It's going to be...
Well, part of it is, like, the idea of, like, being a fucking forensic investigator on the internet and the ability of the internet being an open platform. Like, you can't actually go out in real life and just necessarily follow someone around and like pick up their gum and do a DNA test. Literally, the internet is so open that you can search those things, like the record of that guy incorporating the CS:GO lottery site just as a user, right? And the idea of having all of this information available and you being able to piece it together, not necessarily in the correct fashion or using verifiable standards, of course, but being able to like present that and have evidence whether or not it actually is correct.
Yeah, and then all you need to do is make a video, post it to Reddit, and boom, it's now everyone. Exactly. Now everyone knows.
It's just the nature of being able to find things on the internet like that.
It's so fascinating. Like the amount of it's weird because like this is one of those many times where I'm seeing a disconnect between YouTube communities and YouTube like journalism and YouTube like internet games people versus like published like absolute like dyed-in-the-wool websites where a lot of times you go to like something like GameSpot and they barely talk about it. Like, they wouldn't necessarily see all the ramifications of something like this, because, like, as we've stated, this has got some far-reaching implications as to what this means for where we are now and where we're going.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, Honor the Call or whatever was just a random dude who sometimes made video about CSGO. And now he's, like, a known dude who, like, found out this thing by just Googling a company. Mm-hmm. And that... Oh. It's gonna be interesting. It's gonna be interesting. I can't wait till some fucking US president gets outed as being gay by some YouTuber.
Right.
That's gonna happen. It's gonna be interesting.
The last two posts are just about... Or news topics are just about how fucking... fucking weird the world is!
Yeah. Anyway... Less weird stuff, like more actual normal weird like gaming stuff going forward. Adam Boys has sadly departed, or will be departing PlayStation. There's not much to say here. He's just like going back to games development. He wants to make the move back. He's a great dude, great personality. Sad to see him gone from Sony, but like he's still going to be around making games. That's cool. Next one. This is interesting. This is a fun thing. If people have been, listening to this fucking podcast.
I had a grin on my face when you messaged me about this like a week ago.
It was an Oculus-like moment. Honestly, yeah. Well, not quite. It wasn't quite an
not
Oculus.
Not quite. No.
No one's a burning pile of fucking garbage like Oculus.
But I remember you were specifically saying, "Oh man, I can't wait for these guys to sort of undercut this other company."
Yeah.
And totally. They're gonna bring it back. They're gonna bring. Yeah. They're gonna. Normalize the game industry and put value
to
the product.
They could have. And what we're referring to is AMD and the RX 480. The hardware news, back to hardware news. So people who don't give a shit about hardware news, like fast forward like 15, 20 minutes or whatever. So over the last couple of weeks or episodes, I've been bringing up over and over again, like, hey, this is the thing that's coming out, the AMD RX 480. I was really, really excited for it because there was a lot of potential for a industry-shifting product to be released. New architecture, new die size. AMD had it... The ball was in their court to actually change PC hardware going forward. Like, actually make a meaningful dent on, like, how... Like, the pricing of hardware, the pricing on graphics cards, like GameWorks, like decreasing the power of GameWorks by giving people a viable alternative to Nvidia. Like you were the chosen one, like Obi-Wan Kenobi shouting at fucking like Anakin Skywalker moment of the RX 480 finally getting put out there. And when I saw those performance numbers, I think I messaged Noob. Like Noob was like the first person I messaged, yep. And I think my words were like, wow, the RX 480 is hot garbage. It's funny. It's not that bad.
No, it's not garbage. So people are saying it's a good card.
It's a good card. Yeah.
But it's a good card in the context of this current market.
Yes.
And
which is a fucked up market.
Which is a fucked up market.
Yeah. So like, yeah, like the RX 480 is comparable to a GTX 970. And so a GTX 970 would have previously retailed for about $325, roughly, or $350 US. And the RX 480, for the one that you'd want to buy, starts about $239. So it's essentially $100 off the GTX 970 performance bracket. So you can now...
Or 1070, 1070.
Yeah, no, 100 from...
Wait, it's 970 performance. It's how much is it, sorry?
The 230.
$230. So it's about $150 off from the 1070.
Well, 1070, no, well, don't be crazy. You can't find a 1070 less than fucking $420, $430.
Really?
Yes. Oh. Don't be crazy. I'm in the market for one, kind of, not really. Somewhat. But yeah, the RRP for 1070 is $379, but there's no 1070s you can buy at the moment for $379. Mm-hmm. The Founders Edition was $450, and I think that's pretty much where you find most of the 1070s nowadays. So the actual competitor, like, and that's not even the same performance bracket. Like, the 1070 is roughly twice as fast as this card. Like, it's not even remotely comparable. The closest thing is the 970, which was previously $325-ish to $290-ish dollars US, depending if it's on sale or not. Now discounted to $230, $250 US. And this is about that level of performance. And that's pretty much it. Hey, you can get a GTX 970-ish performance by AMD. for roughly $220. Nothing game changing about that. It's the fact that you can get the Nvidia themselves drop the price in the 970 to 250 or 230 or whatever. Like, there's nothing about, like, I don't know anymore. Like, the only people I can see this being good for are people who want a relatively low powered card in a relatively new low price build and you don't like buying used. That's pretty much it. That's the upshot. The, like, grand, oh, this could have changed the landscape. No, nothing, none of that happened.
So unless you have something slower than, I don't know, like a 950, no, don't buy this card.
This would be faster than 950. Like, if you have a 950...
No, but I mean, is it a worthwhile upgrade compared to waiting for...
You have to answer that for yourself, because what's $200, right? Like, for me, that's like nothing. Like, whatever, that's like... whatever money, like, here. Well,
but at what point would it be beyond marginal? Because they say you should be, like, basically upgrading three tiers of performance, more or less, time you upgrade.
That's what you should. Yeah, that's what you should aim for. Unless you're a person who resells your graphics card, like, I'm going to go into that for the next topic. But, like, if you're a person who buys a graphics card and you just have that graphics card for like 2 to 3 years, you want something that hits the performance bracket that's worth that. Right?
Yes.
The performance bracket in your mind, you at home, the listener, should be, and I'm going to say should, as in, and it sounds like it's ridiculous for me to say so, but I honestly believe this. You should be aiming for purchasing a graphics card that can do 1080p Ultra 60 frames a second on every game out there.
At this point, this point in where gaming is at. Yeah. Yeah.
That's what your aim should be. 1080p 60 Ultra every game out there. And the fact that the RX 480 cannot do that means to me that it is a non-issue piece of kit. There's no reason to buy it. I don't care if it's the biggest performance per dollar thing out there right now.
Yeah. Unless you are building a computer on like a $600 budget or whatever. Yeah.
Unless you have an absolute, like, razor-thin budget, in which case I'm sitting here going, well, you should just save for like another month or two. Like, it's, I don't understand the need to buy X now mentality. Or if Ultra's not meaningful to you. Like, if you're fine with playing 1080p on medium settings or
You only play fucking Dota or you play Counter-Strike.
Yeah, or Overwatch. That's perfectly fine. If Overwatch's the only game you play, then this can run that perfectly, like 120 frames a second at 1080p Ultra. Like, there's no problems with that.
Right.
If you're like moving from consoles to PC for the lowest price you can possibly get, this is kind of what you want. Like, I'd probably still go get a used 9... No, well, actually, no, get this.
Just get a fucking 1070 if you have the money, is what you're trying to say.
If you have the money, or if you can save up for it, if you can wait a bit, then we'll talk about the card you probably should be getting in a second. Or maybe not. Like, we don't know. NVIDIA can fuck up,
we don't know what it's going to be like. Yeah, but basically, right now... There's if no, you are like $50 away and you have to wait like a month, just get the fucking 1070.
Yeah.
Just do it.
Just get a 1070. That thing plays 1440p, 60 frames a second, ultra fine, in every game out there. Like, it's just retarded how good that card is for the price. And there's just like no reason to not get that at the moment.
It's an excellent card. It lacks all of the problems of the 970.
Oh, man. And there's weird things with NVIDIA doing stuff with like their drivers going forward and like old cars getting slower and stuff like that. You want to get the most recent one, unless you're planning on flipping a card or just constantly changing your video card. So in the end, RX 480, good card, not great, and that's not what AMD needed. That's not good enough. They needed to have a fantastic card to make it worth.
Marginally better than the 970 in some benchmarks.
In some benchmarks. Not even every benchmark.
Yeah.
970. The 970. Fuck you.
The mid-range card from the last generation.
Exactly. Like, put that in perspective in your head. The new generation mid-range card is not better than the opponent's mid-range card from the last.
When did the 970 GTX come out?
970. I think it was 2014.
15? 2014.
I think it was 14. Wow.
And that's based off of a 2013 architecture.
Yeah. Like, to be fair, Maxwell is probably the best architecture ever made.
Yes.
It's a fantastic architecture. But, like, I don't give a fuck. It doesn't matter how good they were. You need to be fucking good now. Like, that's all.
The
that R9
Nano is a better card than the.
But to be fair, R9 Nano is twice as expensive. Yeah.
But it's a tiny card.
I'm never gonna say it's a bad purchase decision to get an RX 480, but like you could get
there better. Are better ones. It's not. Yeah. It's not an optimal purchase decision.
Yeah, it's not an optimal purchase decision. And that's again, yeah. The biggest thing with that is having a card that's good, not great, isn't good enough to change the status quo. And what we needed in PC gaming was to change the status quo for hardware. So I'm like massively disappointed. I'm massively disappointed.
So what's coming up for AMD then, other than this?
So the RX 490 is being leaked, and there's not leaked, but like it's been like and not like semi announced. It was on AMD's website. We're not sure what that is. It might just be a dual car, like dual one of these and one PCB. So it's
essentially that's
like
exactly what you want, right? Because they'll fucking dual cards one board. That's always a great thing to have, right? Oh, because if we've learned anything about fucking graphics cards,
it's
that you always want more than one.
Yeah. Oh
you always want more than one. Because what's the point of a purchase if it can runs really well? You want it to be, you know, like maybe about 70% not running to the full potential because you decided to put two cards on one board. I don't know.
Man. It's sad. And so yeah, that's the biggest thing. Like people like it's really interesting to see the reaction because a lot of like online websites that are reviewing stuff are correct in saying that hey, it's crazy to be disappointed by this card because the expectations should always have been it's a good card for the price. Right?
Yeah.
It's a good card for the price. But that's not what the market needs. And to finish
1070
the question,
is like, an excellent card for the price.
Exactly. 1070, well, it's an excellent card for $379.
For this, no.
It's
yeah,
a
we're
good
looking
card
at this
for $450.
Price. Yes.
We'll get to that in a hot second. I just want to finish off by saying, yeah, the only thing coming from AMD coming up is Vega coming at the end of the year or early 2017. So for now, this is what they've got. We'll see aftermarket stuff because as of this podcast, as the review embargo has not lifted on aftermarket 480s yet. I'm not expecting much.
I can't be I'm sure it's an improvement over stock, but also it's not a brand new card. You can't. You can only do so much.
Exactly. Like if this had been as fast as a 980, then I'd be like, holy shit, yeah, that's awesome. But the fact that this has to overclock just to get close to a 980. And it can't get there in this, like the stock stuff can't overclock that far.
Maybe the dual card will be as fast as the 980 when you overclock.
Oh my God. So speaking of cards that could fill the niche of what you guys should be looking for, which is a card that plays everything at 1080p, 60 frames a second at ultra. NVIDIA announced the GTX 1060. The GTX 1060 is finally being announced. The successor to your old card, Noob, the 960.
Yes. Which is a solid card, which was a very solid card for the price point.
How much did you get that for?
It was in Canadian dollars, so I don't remember. But it's like, it was something like 200-something American dollars, something like that.
Yeah. Like, the 960 here is retardedly cheap. It's like 250 Australian dollars. Which is like 100-something US dollars. Like, fucking cheap here. This is not going to be that. Like the other things of this generation for NVIDIA, they've stepped everything up in terms of performance, but they've also stepped everything up in terms of price.
Yes.
So this is going to be
probably 300-ish.
Yeah. So it's 249 RRP, $300 Founders Edition price. They're doing the same Founders Edition bullshit, but this time around, they're only NVIDIA is doing the Founder Edition stuff, and it's only going to be on the website.
Right.
All partner cards are slated to release on release day. So
that's good. That's solid. Okay. Yeah. That's fine.
So, like, all in all, it could end up differently. Because currently, no mincing words, the situation with the 1080 and 1070 is all the way fucked up. Like, it's just fucking retarded.
I could get one.
Down.
They're still in stock for me. A lot of the models.
Oh, yeah. 1070 is in stock. 1080 is in stock as well. Here. Yeah. Not on any online retailer, but like big box retailers that you can get them. That's finally fine. But I'm just talking about pricing. Like, how that went down. Of, like, them announcing an RRP that nothing is being sold for. Nothing. As far as I know, only one type of card, I think it's the It's either the EVGA or the MSI. It's the one that looks like a Founders Edition card, but cheap and cheapo plastic bullshit, right? Yeah. It's just like the Founders Edition card made in plastic and just like one color. It just looks like the ultimate of cheapness. That's what you get for the, like, the base price, the RRP, and any form of custom cooler, which is what you want in the first place, is like fucking $70-$80 more.
Right.
So this isn't looking to change that. So let's just treat this like what it's going to be, which is a $300 graphics card. So the GS 1060 is going to be a $300 graphics card that is supposedly 14% faster than its competitor, than comparative cards on the market.
Which I think is the
480.
480, I guess.
That's just,
yeah.
That's just without saying. And that's the stock speeds. NVIDIA's own marketing material says that it can get to over, it starts at 1700 megahertz, it'll go up to two gigahertz easy. That's a good like 15-ish% overclock. So that lead over the 480 is going to stick once you overclock it.
Right.
And that could actually be finally the card you're looking for. If again your limit is if you never want to exceed 1080p ultra, 60 frames a second, then this is probably the card for you.
Right.
As far as I can tell. Unless you can get a good used GTX 980, like a superclocked edition or something. This is it. Happy days. It's releasing in 9 days, and the review embargo lists and on release day on the 19th of July. It's cool. Happy days. Like this could be the card. Wait for reviews. As I said before, for reviews. Which brings me to the last thing I want to say for this segment, which is my decision making process. Me, where I'm sitting at after all this stuff has gone down, after holding out for AMD for all this time, and as I've always said, I'm not a consumer, I'm a customer. You have to earn my custom. The fact that for me as an engineer, things like what I'm going to say matter, right? Mm-hmm. The RX 480 uses the same amount of power as a 1070
mm-hmm.
for 70% less performance, like 40 to 70% less performance, like ridiculously lower performance, which means that despite having multiple things in their favor, AMD still can't engineer themselves out of a fucking paper bag. Like, it is disgusting how poor their engineering effort was for this. The only benefit we've seen is essentially the die shrink. That's it. It's sad. It is fucking sad how bad the engineering behind this product is. So it's like, just as I was for the Oculus, for me, the how your company approaches designing a product matters, because it's like whether I believe in you as a company matters. But beyond that, just purely like an RX 480 can't do 1080p ultra for everything. I need something that can do maybe some upscaling, so I wouldn't mind doing 1440p down res to 1080p for my 4K TV, because nothing can do 4K yet. I'm looking at a 1070 or 1080. That's kind of what I'm seeing right now. That's kind of how it is all played out.
Come hop on the 1070 train.
Like, so having looked around, I was thinking that until literally this morning. So I was thinking about 1070 or 1080 till literally this morning. I still could go either way on it. The reason for this, and this is for people at home, and this is just a pro tip all around. The cheapest graphics card you can buy isn't the cheapest one on the market. It's the cheapest one you can buy after subtracting the amount that you can sell your current one for.
Yeah.
That's the actual, that should be in your mind, the calculus of upgrading. So for me, previously and up until this point, I've usually just given my old PC parts to family, because that's just how I work. They usually need some form of upgrade by the time I'm done with something, I can give it on. This graphics card I own right now is the last of that. So I'm going to be upgrading. It's not even a family, but a friend's birthday came up. I was like, oh, yeah, you know what? I'll give you my old graphics card. He's coming up from I think it's like a 760 or something, like fucking terrible. Jeez. It was a 680. I think it was a 680. So he's coming up from a 680.
Okay.
and I'm giving him my R9 290, was a massive upgrade for him. And so this marks the end of that. So now it comes back to the calculus of upgrading your graphics card. So in Australia, you can buy a GTX 1080 for $1,250 for a good one, to like $1,150 Australian for like a medium, like a superclocked, right?
Right.
That is an absolute ripoff. That is like $200 over exchange rate. It's fucked. Which means if I import a graphics card,
wow,
I can get essentially $200 to $300 off its list price.
Right.
Now, if you go through the calculus of reselling a graphics card, graphics cards tend to maintain their value really well. Like up until the 1070 came out, GTX 1080, so it's 980 Ti's were reselling for only about 10% off their list value. So their market value, their new value. So you're actually not losing much of it. And if you go, if you rewind back to what I'm looking at, if I import, for example, an EVGA graphics card of Newegg, I would be able to resell that locally for 10% off list, which is $1,200. So $200 down $120, so $1,000-ish. Essentially making a profit on a used graphics card.
Right.
So, not to say that that's exactly what I'm going to do, because I feel kind of shady about that, but what I'll probably end up doing is getting an EVGA graphics card off an online retailer, and the reason why it's EVGA is because they have international warranty, so that works. Mm-hmm. So get an EVGA graphics card off an online retailer, use it for a year until the GTX 1080 Ti or Vega comes out, and then just reselling it. Essentially having either a $50 graphics card or a minus $150 graphics card, depending on what resale value is in 6 to 10 months.
Yeah.
That is the calculus I'm talking about. So for people at home, if you can afford the initial investment on a really high-end graphics card, note to yourself that essentially what you're buying in on, like, you won't always have a situation like me, and I'm in Australia, we're getting ripped off, like, I can abuse that. But if you're in the US, for example, and you're looking at a $650 GTX 1080, right? So $699 GTX 1080. Say you can't afford that. You buy a GTX 1080, and then next year when the 1080 Ti comes out, you sell the 1080 for, say, $500. So essentially that graphics card costs you $200. Then you put that money towards the 1080 Ti. And so the cycle continues. So essentially you're getting the highest end graphics card possible for $200 sustainment costs. And that's an interesting way of looking at it that you should consider, you at home, and that's what I'm considering now. So what I'm considering now is getting a 1080, because that's the highest, that's the one we're getting ripped off on the most, which means I lose the least by reselling. In fact, I can potentially even get a profit on it. Or I'm going to get, they finally knocked off the prices of the 980 Ti's.
Do not get the 980 Ti.
I might get a 980 Ti because
it's going to be worth so much less, I think, once that 1080 Ti comes out.
Doesn't matter because it's $150 less than 1070.
New. Wow, really?
New. Okay. It's $150 in Australia. $150 less than 1070. New, both new. It outperforms the 1070 when overclocked, even when you overclock the 1070. So it's faster than the 1070 at the moment with current drivers. And that's important because it might decrease with time. But it's faster than 1070 once overclocked. And then I can resell it for like $150 less than what I bought it for. So to give you actual numbers, a 1070 is around $800 Australian. I can get a really good 980 Ti new for $650.
Wow.
Australian. And if whatever, I just resell that for $500 next year. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, whatever. The 980 Ti's are more expensive here still by right. A factor of about $100.
Yeah, that's not worth it. That's not worth it at all. It's only 3% faster.
Also, I plan on keeping the 1070 when I get it. Right. So,
yeah. So, yeah, that's the calculus of upgrading for people at home. Up to you. Like, obviously, there's no right or wrong way to do it.
I mean, there are wrong ways to do it.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah, there's no absolutely perfect way of doing it. There are definitely wrong ways of doing it. Don't get a, for example, an R9 390 now or 970. Don't get a 980. get a 970 used or like on discount. That's fine.
Yeah.
But don't get a 980. Because you'd want to.
Yeah, that's the thing. Instead. A 970 you can fucking buy used now. You cannot buy a used fucking 480.
Yeah, exactly. Like, what do you get? So yeah, always keep your eyes out there. Keep in mind that there are more to buying hardware than just the list price. So that's what I'm going to do. And that's my one current leading. So I'm currently leading on getting a superclocked EVGA 1080 off Newegg or B&H photo video or Amazon, but I doubt Amazon will have a restock. And then just flipping it next year once the 1080 Ti comes out. So I can, either for profit or for like a very small loss. And then just putting that money forward. Because I'm still aiming for a 4K video card and nothing can do 4K yet. So everything sucks. Nothing fits the performance bracket I want. So everything.
If you have a 1080p monitor, though, get that 1070 because you can actually run games at past 60 FPS.
Or potentially 1060. Like if you're not planning to upgrade from 1080p monitor, 1060 might be all you need. But for considering that, maybe eventually you'll find 1070s for $380.
Or honestly speaking, with that fucking upgrade in terms of consoles coming, you might need the 1070. 3 years down the line to play 1080p games.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So. Absolutely. Just think about how easy Skyrim is to run now.
Yeah.
Versus like anything out today. And that's just only been like 5 years, right? Mm-hmm. And with that, that's the end of our hardware segment. Continual like slow updates. I'll be updating you as I continue to make purchasing decisions. Hopefully that's helpful to people out there because I try to like...
You might actually get there faster than me. Considering the fucking things I have to go through.
But yeah, I'm going to invite Thurbleton to the call since he's finally here. Okay. And then we're going to just launch into what we've been doing instead of news, even though news has kind of been all over the place this week. Whatever, it's me and Noob. This is what happens when it's just us two in the fucking call. Without Thurbleton to fucking like bottle us down. So as I do that, tell me, why have you got... You were going to buy a 1070 last time.
Yeah. Two Wednesdays ago, maybe a Wednesday ago, I don't remember, was my plan to buy a 1070. But it didn't really materialize due to factors of national importance that, ironically, that I have to deal with at work. So basically, I was planning on getting the 1070.
Well, pause. I can't add people to this call. Can you add people to this call?
No.
No?
I can't. I don't have Thurb.
Oh, okay. We're going to take a quick... That is a taste. That is a taste of the fantastic story you're about to hear.
Yeah.
Or this might all get edited out. I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe.
See you after the break with Thurbleton. And we're kind of back. Slight technical difficulties. I don't know where it's going to be editing. I'm not editing the show. It's all Thurbleton's problem. It's all Thurbleton's problem. I don't give a fuck. Thurbleton, welcome to the call.
I can't wait. It's going to be so much fun.
Don't you just love it when it's just me and Noob? When it's just me and Noob rapping and you have to edit?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great listening to just like going back and just like...
Just nonsense.
Trying to level out the sound. It's like, what do I cut? Does this even make sense?
Oh, my mic was super boomy and I was breathing into it earlier in the podcast.
At the start of the show.
Great.
Enjoy. Enjoy. Anyway, welcome. Welcome back to this episode of the Scotchcast. We're going to get into what we've been doing coming up, which means we get to continue/start. I don't know how the editing is going to work out. Noob's story about why he doesn't have a 1070 yet. So last time we left off, you were going to buy a 1070 within days of the recording.
Within 2 or 3 days of recording. And now it's been 2 weeks since I've made that promise.
Uh-huh.
And basically what happened is I've been working on a file at work because Canada Post, which is the service that delivers, which is our national mail carrier, basically has been undergoing negotiations for strike action. And what happened was, I think if you ordered something by the 23rd of June, it was still okay before it went on strike and whatever. And I had to deal with that at work. I had to, you know, put up things because I do internal communications for like a big organization. And that's what I was worrying about. But then I realized I'm going to get a 1070, but I'm not worried, right, Cynic? You know why I'm not worried?
Why?
Because there's a Canada Computer Store, which is one of our nation's biggest computer retailers, that was just outside of my workplace, like a 3-minute walk. Piss easy to get my 1070. I went online and the places are like, oh, 1070s are in stock in most stores and we can get it.
You linked me to it. It said in stock everywhere. Like, everything was in stock. Yep.
Yes. So I'm like, no fucking problem. No.
I just have a quick question.
Yeah.
Just based off previous stories, is this building near where the sinkhole was?
Yes. This is very... Did I talk about the sinkhole?
Yes.
You talked about the sinkhole.
Yeah, we know about the sinkhole.
I don't think this is where the story is going, but did the 1070 fall down the sinkhole?
Okay.
No, it didn't. It did not.
Okay.
They closed up the sinkhole. Oh, did I? Fuck, I forgot to mention. I saw Barack Obama 2 weeks ago.
What are you... What fever dream are you living in?
No, wait. Fucking slight digression.
Is this before or after your mom cleaned your house?
This was during my mom was cleaning my house that I saw Barack Obama and I was going to buy this card. And basically
was he in
what
your
happened
house?
Is,
was he like
no, 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 what happened was basically there's the Three Amigos Summit, which is like Mexico, Canada, and Barack Obama, and I live in the capital city, and the building they were meeting is, cuz I work right beside the American embassy, like it's physically beside each other. And the building up, like the National Art Gallery, which is about a 3-minute walk north of where I work, is where they met for the conference. And so we all, of course, like got to go outside to go see Obama's motorcade at the beginning when he was going to the thing.
Of course,
we were standing on the wrong fucking side of the street, even though the police like closed off. They closed off an entire 500-meter radius or something like that from the building.
Right.
And there were fucking policemen with big guns on the top of our building. And it was really cool.
That's
but
cool.
We were all waiting. And of course, we were on the fucking wrong side, so we had to go back in. And as I was leaving for work at about like 4:45 or something like that, the entire place was blocked off. And my building was an island, and I couldn't go home. So I had to stand there for 30 fucking minutes because... like, police were everywhere, and they weren't letting me. And I was about to call. I forget who I was about to call, being like, I'm going to be late. And, suddenly a giant motorcade went by, and I saw Obama in his car. And I forgot to yell Trump 2016, and that was the biggest disappointment of my life. But I was 5 meters from the president of the United States of America.
The president of the free world, as people like to style him.
5 meters away, and I should have climbed over. And been shot.
No, you shouldn't. Yeah. That's that's how that
but,
would
I'm
but
glad
going back
you
to
didn't
the story.
Climb over and get shot.
Yeah. Go back to the story.
So, did you walk down to the store? Is that?
Yeah, I did walk down to the store.
Okay.
And I walked. It was a hot day. It was 35 degrees outside. I was fucking sweating. It was 5:30 after work, and I walked down to where the store is, or should I say where the store was?
Oh no.
So
oh no!
Beating 6 months, that store had permanently closed down.
Oh no!
And the nearest Canada Computers or NCIX is a 2-hour bus ride from where I live, one way. So I'm sitting here, unable to fucking get a 1070 because A, I can't have it delivered anymore because there's going to be a strike, and I don't want my 1070 to be sitting in a giant fucking warehouse and never to be sent, because what happens is you'll have a strike and then all of your mail service is fucked up for months.
Oh man.
I don't want that.
Serious question, noob.
Yeah.
Is there either a UPS or a FedEx or a like DHL equivalent kind of thing in Canada?
There's Purelader, which is what we use. There's also FedEx, but these places use Purelader, and the nearest Purelader pickup location is an hour and a half bus ride away one way.
And I assume it's not kosher to have stuff delivered to work?
No.
Because you can try that. Like my dudes were fine with it in the end.
I don't think they're fine with it.
Always ask. Well, we're both in government places, and my place was fine with it. So
that's true. But basically, I'm not gonna take the bus for 4 hours. I'm honestly not gonna take the bus for 4 hours, just because I have to work and I can't take the bus for 4 hours and fit that into my workday.
Right.
Especially
since like on weekends those stores either don't open or like are open
exactly.
till like midday.
They're computer stores, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not going to be able to, you know, if like the postal service, like Canada Post pickup is like a fire lift, so that's fine, but it's not working anymore. So
there's no way to get a FedEx to you.
No, there isn't, because I'm going to be out at work, and unless, and I basically, because my my building has like very lofty security, right? In the sense of like, it's, there's, you have to do an ID, and there's like a bunch of security at the door, and there's a separate mail. It's a very big building.
Yeah.
It wouldn't really work, I don't think.
Try it. Just ask.
I will try it. I will ask. Yeah.
Because, I thought the same thing, because obviously I'm in defense, but no, they're totally cool with it. They're totally cool with it.
Okay.
They even let the dude come escorted to my desk.
Wow.
To give me the, just ask, and you might be able to
get them. No 1070 for me, because fuck.
So you're just sitting here in 960 land.
Yeah.
Getting fucked
you,
up the ass.
Fuck you, Canada Post Union of Workers. Fuck you. Fuck you, Canada Computers, for shutting down just all of a sudden and making me go out of
the way. Updating the website.
Not updating their website. I don't have a 1070 right now. And so I've basically been thinking, I want a guitar.
Don't.
And the new guitar is $2,500.
Don't get a $2,500 guitar. But to be fair, I don't
get one off like Craigslist or something. You know, like a Goodwill or garage.
A used version would be a $2,000. It's not. There's not a big price.
So you're looking at a fancy guitar, not just
a fancy guitar. That's a mid-range guitar. A fancy guitar would be, I spent $5,500 on a guitar.
Okay, wait. I just need to. I need to retract my previous statement. I need to ask a question first.
Yes,
noob. Do you know how to play the guitar?
Yes. I've been playing guitar for 10 years.
Okay. Then a $2,500, that's fair. I thought just like, I want to buy this super expensive one and then learn.
Yeah, but it would be the most expensive guitar I own. Just because like the most expensive guitar I currently own is, what, $1,500?
Yeah, but if you take care of it, it'll be an investment. Yeah, you can sell it later.
Yes, it is an investment for a lifetime, basically.
Like that's the crazy thing with like video cards is that's not an investment. Soon as you buy it, a new one is coming out, and it is
all computer parts are perishable.
Borrowing time.
Yeah.
And it's sort of like an old guitar sounds very different to a new guitar, and guitars sound different over time. So there's a value in that. But also, I don't know. But I'm thinking of, just because I don't have a guitar with me in Ottawa right now, that's like the urgent feeling that I need to get a guitar. So maybe I'll buy a cheap one and also get a 1070. I don't know.
That's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, like $500 one.
Wait,
just to play
around. Okay, do you have a guitar that you could just get your dad to bring over or whatever?
Well, also part of it is the one I'm looking to buy is an acoustic guitar. I have two electric guitars that are really good, but the acoustic is a piece of garbage that's sort of breaking apart.
Okay, so you already need a new acoustic.
Yeah, I already need an acoustic, but sort of the question is, do I just want a cheaper one that I can really just play around with, because I'm not fucking performing, and if I'm doing it just to, you know,
if you're not performing in front of people or not recording yourself, just get a cheaper guitar.
Yeah, and part of it is like, I enjoy playing on my nicer guitars, but is it worth not getting a 1070 for? And I don't think it is.
No,
so
you spend more time gaming than fucking playing your guitar by a significant margin.
So that's I guess that's what I'll do. Yeah. Also, I spent like fucking $200 in the Steam sale. God.
Did you? Okay.
So no, I spent $200. I spent like $100.
So let's get on to actual video games. What have you been playing? Like we've talked about a lot that hasn't been video games this episode. I don't know.
Wait, you guys have been going for like 2 hours and you haven't talked about video games yet? Okay,
we talked about Pokemon Go and the lady who found a dead body, but
oh, Pokemon Go. That's God. Everyone
talked
at
about
my job is playing Pokemon Go, and it's
everyone knows is playing Pokemon Go. Half my friends are playing Pokemon Go.
One coworker playing it. Yeah, but a significant portion of my friends are. Yeah.
Yo, it's hilarious. It's a bad game, though. That's I have problems with Pokemon Go.
The only issue I have with it is the colorblind thing that Jeff talked about on the Bombcast. That's it's when you're going to capture the Pokemon, it goes from like two colors that certain colorblind people can't see at all, and I'm just like, that's just the worst.
That's dumb. That's really weird. Japan. I don't like it because like you assholes, you had Pokemon to base this off, and yet you still boiled it down further to just two attacks. All you've got is dodge, attack, and special attack. That's it on your Pokemon. It's garbage. I don't even know why that's even like fuck you guys. Fuck you guys. At least you can maintain the core of what fucking Pokemon is. Just Ugh, worst. Anyway, Noobarama, what have you been playing?
I bought the upcoming Armor 3 expansion.
Okay. That's not playing anything. I asked you a very simple question. You still didn't
I bought the Secret World Ultimate Edition because I, for some reason, thought you would have bought it, but you didn't.
No.
I don't think you did.
No.
And I bought Tales from the Borderlands.
Hey, nice.
And I think that's... I think I bought something else. But what have I been playing?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've been playing anything.
Okay, moving on.
The response to that is I've been playing Pokemon Go while we've been recording.
Oh my god.
Oh shit! Okay, no, wait. I've been playing Football Manager 2016. So
that's pretty cool.
This is what I bought. Okay.
Sure.
So Football Manager 2016 is like, everyone's like, oh, it's a spreadsheet simulator. And, you know, I'll contend that that's not the case because there's games that are more spreadsheety than that.
Mm-hmm.
But I bought it because it was on sale. I don't like football. I don't like soccer. I don't care for it. But yeah, I got it. And I'm so confused at what's going on in the game.
Why did you buy it? Like, that's the only real question.
Yeah, okay, well, so my friend plays this game a lot, and we've been doing this thing where, what we used to do, we'd like watch the game happen, and we'd like co-manage the team and do dumb shit like that, like a shitty like tier 2 like Korean soccer club that has like an income where it's like players get paid $50 on weekends to play because it simulates that, right? And basically, we've done that except. Where it has a multiplayer function, so we've been in the same league. But my friend gets really angry when he loses, so we haven't played since the first day.
No way! Oh, that's funny. That's a funny way to reason to stop playing. Anyway, okay. Thurbleton actually has stuff, and we want to get this moving along. I need to drive back to Wagga Wagga, fucking middle of nowhere.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, I just realized there's something in here, or something I've played that isn't on this list that you two will probably enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
I finished playing Left Alone, that, like, really low budget, but still kind of, like, decent resolution horror game. That is not scary at all and that kind of funny.
Fucking weird horror game.
So, shortly after... I'm just going to, like, screw it. Anybody who wants to play this, please play it, even knowing this... It's still kind of amazingly bad, but, like, entertainingly so. Left Alone's it's indie horror game on Steam. Let me see if I can pull up the information on it.
It's beautiful. It's one of the, like, the reason me and Noob saw is that Thurman invited us while he was playing it on... Were you on streaming? You were streaming with a friend.
Yeah, I was playing it with a friend using a very interesting setup of, like, through Skype, video share, and also outputting my mic and the game audio.
It was a weird
I had to draw a graph to figure out how to do this. But, okay, here we go. Left Alone is a psychological horror game set in multiple believable interior and exterior environments. This game has a unique... old-school, high-octane atmosphere, which means you'll feel like you're truly beginning an adventure you'll never quite forget.
Oh my god, that game. That game.
Kind of accurate. So, right after, I figured, like, oh, we got a ways to go still. But, like, as the game ended, it pulled this weird, like, M. Night Shyamalan twist of, like, kind of what you expect the game to do of, like, no, this, it, rather than spooky ghosts moving all of these, like, easels around with writing on them, it was just some big corporation that it was, like, training you, or, like, they were testing you if you were wanting to be a candidate for them or something. And then it just ends. Weird.
That's so... Ugh.
It was just like, wait, what? Did we
die? I don't
die?
Know, man. Weird horror... It's... Horror games in a weird spot. Indie horror games are in a very weird spot. But it was funny. It's funny. It's funny. Yes, I'll give you that. It's funny.
It's so good. It's like, I don't know if they intended it to be so good because it's so bad, but it's
so bad.
It's good.
So bad.
It's,
how much is it? Is it on sale or anything?
$6 or something like
it's
that?
It's $6.99 USD. Right. So it's like $7.
Play it with a friend. That's all we can say.
Yes.
Yeah.
So good. Okay. The other games I've been playing.
Also spoilers. We apologize for the spoilers.
Yeah, sorry, not sorry. Like, even it's the Romeo and Juliet thing. You know how the story ends. Still, you have to, like, it's the journey, not the destination.
Yeah.
Left alone. Okay, the other game I've been playing, and really just, like, I needed some chill. I needed just something to relax and just have my brain work in the background still. But during the Steam sale, I ended up getting Polybridge. And that soundtrack is
one of the greatest quick looks ever produced, from memory. Isn't it Vinnie Caravella making bridges? Wasn't that essentially the
Vinnie Caravella making bridges with Austin and, why am I blanking on the third person's name?
Alex Navarro. Yo.
The Guns of Navarro.
The most amazing, the greatest engineer of our time making bridges.
He gets things from A to B.
You can't ask for more. Ask for more.
Without things falling in the sea.
But yes, continue. What is Polybridge for people who don't know?
Polybridge is you have you basically have to make bridges in a very like artsy kind of blocky, well not super blocky, but low poly, I think is a good way to describe it. 2D like, you know, side view, and you have like a list of materials. It's a very building and engineer kind of thing. You have like load bearing weights and all that you have to worry about. And if you wanted to, you could just make the craziest things, of which there's a like a leaderboard and you can see other people's crazy creations.
Yeah.
Or magnificent like trash fires that still somehow work. But then and again, it's a very like calming kind of thing. Like the music especially helps with that thing of just being like the like two guitars going back and forth doing kind of folk, just but relaxing music.
Mm. Yeah.
It's a nice jam. I'd say check it out. If it seems like your thing, keep an eye on it for next Steam sale or something.
It's actually a good game. Like it gives you engineering challenges. That sounds lame, but like in the end, it's just puzzle solving. You're solving puzzles with these load bearing elements, and like it also has like actuation. Yeah. Like you get raising and lowering bridges and stuff. It's pretty cool.
The especially where the puzzle comes in is like, oh, we're going to give you like this long distance, or you have to get out of the way of a boat or go up an incline or something.
Yeah.
But we're only giving you this much of a budget and these specific materials to work with.
Yeah. Yeah. It actually seems really cool. Yeah. There's a couple games like it as well, but that one's good.
Mm-hmm. I very much enjoy doing my time with it. The other one that like I've been continually returning to and enjoying, and I still have yet to finish, but I feel like I'm getting closer and closer to maybe not finishing the story, but getting 100% completion. I've been doing a lot of the side stuff, is Hyper Light Drifter.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you've talked about that a couple times on the show.
I have talked about it a couple times. I don't want to say now, because, like, you know, we're a little bit over halfway for the year being over. But this is a Game of the Year contender for me. Like,
really?
Top.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a really well-made game. Like, it's at the core, it's a fun little, like, dash and slash game.
Mm-hmm.
But everything about it is polished, which is weird because like I've seen videos and like stories about like how they were still working up into the like the hour before they had to upload it kind of thing. And then like the last hour was waiting for it to upload before they could release the game.
Nice.
So like that side of it's crazy, but it's a really good game. Like the combat is great. I don't really know how to equivocate, like how to eloquate and talk about how much fun it is, other than it's a really fun slash and dash game, and it looks amazing.
It looks fantastic. It looks fantastic. It's got a decent, really ambient kind of sound to it.
I guess like my one criticism is that like the music will, like the actual soundtrack will flare up at times and become so overbearing, but I almost wonder if the developers intended for that to be a thing. I guess one of my favorite things about it, and what I've been doing mostly, like working to try and get 100%, is so the game has very little tutorializing. All it does is like, hey, you need to press like this to pick up stuff and use that to heal and all that.
Yeah.
It doesn't explain, like the one of the things it's been applauded for is the way NPC dialogue happens. And I'm sure I've talked about this before, and that it's like, there's no words, it's just pictures, and you piece together what the story is.
Yeah.
Something else it does is they will put, for I think 99% of the time, a little marker. And I feel like this is a spoiler, but at the same time, it is so helpful once you know it's there. But they have a little marker to show when hidden stuff is there. Mm-hmm. And like, oh, you need to know, oh, look around in this area and you'll find a pathway. And just the game is like ripe. It's like it's full of all of those little pathways. And you find just a ton of little side stuff. And like you don't necessarily need all of it, but it's just fun to explore side paths. I mean, like, it's fun.
Awesome. Yeah, no, it's been around a while, but that game continues to look cool. It's sad that we couldn't necessarily have this part of the segment before the Steam sale, because I think it was actually on sale. But yeah, no, it looks good.
There's always going to be more sales.
There's always going to be more sales. Yeah, it looks cool. Anything else?
Yeah, there's one other game. Well, I played a couple other games, just pulled off itch.io and all that. Mm-hmm. But one I want to talk about that's actually pretty good. So Blendo, let me see if I can get all the names for it. It's a game called Fitzpackerton.
So what the hell is it? I've never heard of this. I have no idea what this is.
Fitzpackerton is a game by, a Game Jam game. Okay. I can't remember which Game Jam it was for. And it doesn't seem to show it on the website.
All I see is like a bedroom with a bag. I'm looking at Google Image Search for people.
No, that's fine. Okay, the two main things that will hopefully raise eyebrows is it's a game made by four people, two of which are Teddy Deef, who is one of the people who made Hyper Light Drifter.
Okay.
Yep. And Brendan Chung, who is the one-man team that is Blendo Games. Blendo Games is the people who made 30 Flights of Loving and Gravity Blown, as well as Atom Zombie Smasher. And I don't know much about Atom Zombie, but Flotilla, which is a really cool but low-poly, like, 3D... Well, not maybe not 3D, but it's a space strategy game. Gravity Blown and 30 Flights of Loving are very neat games that do... They're, like, 15 minutes long, and they do scene transitions and tell a story without using like word pop-ups or anything, or like, you know, press F to pay respects kind of thing.
Right.
They tell a story better than that using jump cuts and basic film techniques. Mm-hmm. They do it better than any other game I've known. And Fitzpackerton is much the same of that, of just like, it's a very short game. It's free. You just download it on itch.io. If you feel happy about it, you can go back and give the developers money for like throw them a couple bucks kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But it's very short, and it just tells the story of a heist, which is very much what like Blendo Games almost all of his games have to do with heists.
Okay, cool. I wouldn't have picked that from these Google images. I wouldn't have picked that it would be a heist. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's very short, but very like it says a lot with its time. Yeah, it's worth a quick download. It's like 30 megs.
That's cool. It's don't expect anything like freaking high production value. It looks like obviously like an indie game, but it seems interesting.
Yeah, Fitzpackerton. It's the thing that like I really want other developer like, you know, it's something that like would be great for larger scale things to like pull these kind of ideas, and something that like we kind of saw with the game at the start of the year, That Dragon Cancer. But again, that's an indie team that was just doing it for a longer time, and it was more drawn out, fuller game.
Yeah.
But yeah, it would be great to see larger AAA game titles take these kind of lessons. But for now, just get the word out. Check it out. If you like it, tell your friends kind of thing. It's a free thing. Fitzpackerton.
Cool. Yeah. Anything else?
I believe that's it.
Cool. So we're almost at the end of the show. I'll do what I've been doing, and then we'll wrap it up. Oh man!
I guess. Okay, you go ahead.
No,
I will have something to say about something you've got. Don't worry, it's a good thing.
I've done one awesome.
I don't think
thing.
Cynic has many six good things to say about. Yeah,
I've got one awesome thing and one thing I fucking could not stand.
I'm worried about okay.
Let's do the awesome thing first. There's a book series.
Crap. Son of a... Okay, great. That other thing I just bought.
There's a book series. It's by a guy who... he barely has any published books. Like, he's a dude who writes... I don't know what you'd call them. Like, web serials? Not comics. But like, he posts his books a chapter at a time on his website. His name is Drew Hayes. And essentially, he literally just writes by twice a week, because it's like Mondays and Thursdays or whatever. He posts a chapter, and he posts every, like, chapters back after like back to back to back to back until he finishes a book. Then he just gets that book essentially published and then makes an audiobook of it. And he's done that for a couple of different books, like some offshoots. But his primary series is a series called Superpowereds, which sounds so dumb. And it's one of those things that shouldn't be good, but is fucking fantastic. So, it's called Superpowereds. It's essentially one of a growing genre, like almost an immense genre now, with how many people are in it. Of, hey, whatever is a world where people, normal people have superpowers? ? But we're talking about, like, essentially we're in a world that's, like, set in, like, today, like, 2014, 15. In the 60s, superheroes were finally revealed. Like, they finally were confirmed. A dude by the pseudonym, or whatever you would call it, Captain Starlight, revealed himself to the U.S. military, and essentially started the Hero Certification Program. So, essentially, because of insurance companies having massive issues with the amount of payouts they had to do with superheroes going around and supervillains going around crushing everything, they instituted a certification program. So in order to be able to use your powers in a way that would potentially create collateral damage, you have to be certified. And that boils down to there being a university, like, fucking, like, essentially course, essentially, on how to be a superhero that is highly competitive and only 10 people graduate after this four-year course. So essentially you start with a group of five people who enter this course and are trying to be superheroes, or to be heroes, as the terminology in world is. And it's so different and yet so the same in ways that are meaningful to things I've read before. So, core values, it's got all the hallmarks of a very good book series, in that it has characters you grow to really, really care about over the books. Like, essentially they're 20, where they start off at 18, this is first year university or college, and you see them go through their years. It's literally, the first one's called year one, the second one's called year two, the third one's called year three, and the final one's called year four. And the final one's still on his website being written at the moment. And I'm midway through year three now. And essentially, it's just literally their dailies, their day-to-day life. You jump between characters, and you're watching them as they go through uni. They have summer break, they have, like, winter break and all that kind of stuff, or Christmas break and that kind of stuff. But it's some combination of the fact that he writes them the way he does, of, like, just a chapter a week, and he because of that, he literally takes about 2 years to write it, write a book, and it's a chapter, like, two chapters a week, sorry. It has this pace to it that feels more like actually living through that period of my life back in the past, or anyone's life, that kind of uni period of, like, oh yeah, sometimes days just kind of run into each other, and you just, like, I can't remember massive swaths of uni, but, like, it's like a highlight reel. Like, you still remember that time you met that girl, or the time you went at summer break, or that test from ages ago. Like, it's just because it's written in a way that, like, slowly, like, meaningfully tells, like, a whole year in these kids' lives, or not kids anymore, but, like, these people's lives, like, essentially rolling out over literally, like, 250 chapters in a book. Like, the books aren't particularly long, but the chapters are short. And it has that, like, that rhythm to it. It feels like a daily. It feels like a journal almost. It's just, but it's written in a way that the characters feel realistic. The dialogue is snappy. The action is good. The interestingness of, like, how do you teach someone, and how do you learn how to become a hero? Like, things like learning to take out enemies with minimal collateral damage, or learning to use your powers in different ways, or how much physical training you actually need to go through if you need to be a peak physical condition. So many, like, fucking piece of fiction out there, like have the hero be like a farm boy at the start, and then after like 1 month of training is suddenly a master swordsman. Like, it doesn't make any sense. But like the seeing them go through slow incremental physical and like power development, seeing their interactions between people, and in the end the whole thing is just about these people like interacting with each other. Like, friendships are made, friendships are broken, things come up in politics that like make people like change their opinions about each other, people change over time. It's so incredibly engrossing, and I never would have thought of it. It came up as a recommendation from Audible because the first audiobook came out. The second one's coming out later this month. And I was like, oh, you know what? Whatever. I like supporting new authors, and it's got fantastic reviews. It's over 4 stars on Goodreads. So I was like, wow, that's surprising for a new author. So I checked it out, and it blew me away. Superpowers. It is fantastic. Definitely check it out if you have the time in your life for another superhero thing. But this one is different from anything you've read before. That's good. So, cool. Moving on to the thing that I did not like. Thurbleton, what do you know about Inside? Okay, he's messaged me.
I know very little that it is... I was about to take him off. Okay, I know very little other than, like, some people have passionate reviews, either for or against...
Are there some against? I haven't seen any against yet. It's been a universal positive like phrase.
I'm assuming you're going to be passionately against.
I'm not going to be passionately against. I'm going to be passionately on the side of what the fuck are these people talking about?
I'm going to take my headphones off until this is over with.
Okay.
Y'all have a good talk with Cynic and Noob.
Noobarama.
Okay. Should I just preface by saying I thought Limbo was pretty cool? Okay. It's not fucking unicorn jizz. It's not like groundbreaking gameplay, and that's why I have no need to associate with Inside. Buying it or playing it, I'm okay. I don't want to pay $20 for this game. Let's just put it that way. That's my view. That's an important thing.
I didn't particularly see anything interesting about Limbo either.
No.
So that should put things in perspective. Like, if you're someone...
I don't think it was a bad game. I thought it was a fun little puzzle game.
Yeah.
I didn't get why people were, like, so...
enraptured.
Amazed. Yeah, they were so amazed that it was, like, they could not stop talking about that game. Like, it was something...
It was like the second
groundbreaking
coming
to the game industry. Yeah, it was so strange. I never understood that.
And I'm getting the same vibes from this one. So... Limbo. It's a game where you're a little boy in a black and white world, walking through a forest. And there's like weird stuff with like the world around it's interesting. They paint an interesting world. This is more of that. And I didn't finish Limbo. I literally played an hour of Limbo, and I was like, "This is boring me to tears."
Yeah, I didn't finish it.
And Limbo. I was done. And to be fair, like many people are like, oh no, you need to stay to the end. If those people are saying that for the same reason that they're saying that for this game, then fuck you. Fuck everything you're talking about. Yeah. I know.
It gets good. It'll get good soon. Keep playing.
Oh man. So I don't want to ruin the end of this game. So I'll just start from base principles. Graphics. The game looks fantastic. It's really good looking.
Really good style.
Yeah, really good style to it. I really like the color palette. I really like the way it uses perspective. At its core, it's still a game where you're literally walking from left to right. Like, there are many moments in this game when I was like, if you could just move like fucking 1 meter into the screen, you could fucking... ludicrously annoying. Limbo, I think, did a better job of like making things feel like they were 2D. If the puzzles felt like 2D puzzles, but because
you have things in the foreground in this game,
yeah.
But that this ruins this does, that.
Yeah, this game gives you a sense of depth and sense of things being different, and a sense of like the room being bigger than this one plane, and that actually I think works to its detriment. Because there are many times, like as I said, where it's like, oh, you could just do X, Y, and Z, and you wouldn't have had to do anything you're doing right now. It's literally right over there. It's literally right there. It's like fucking a meter to your left, you piece of shit. There's quite a few moments like that. But like so, but we'll get to that in a second when we get to the gameplay. Sound, fantastic. Really good. Like, I was not impressed with it while playing, like, at all. But that was because I wasn't enjoying the game. Looking at it in past, like, past tense and thinking about what it did with sound design, I actually think the sound is actually really very good. The cues it continuously has with, like, cueing you to when danger is near or giving you, like, a sense of foreboding in some cases, like, definitely in one instance. It does very interesting thing. I don't think it's particularly overbearing at any given point, but it definitely toes that line of like barely there, but just there enough to give you a tone. This game nails its tone in a way that very few games do.
Right.
It's got a very defined tone, a very impressively defined tone. In the same way that Limbo did. Limbo did had a very, very well-defined tone. That's pretty much where my positives about this game end. Like, that's pretty much all I can think of. That's pretty much it. So, if someone had sat down to me and said a 3.5 hour to 4.5 hour long, $20 puzzle game where every puzzle has like one step or two steps maximum to completing them, and not a single fucking puzzle does anything beyond remotely, like, barely challenge you.
Right.
At all. Like, fucking, I was only stuck on, the longest time it took me to solve a puzzle in this game was 5 minutes, and that's only because I couldn't figure out that you could interact with this item. Like, I was like, oh, you can actually drag this item. I didn't know you could drag that item. That's the longest one. The second longest was like 3 minutes, and that was actually a good puzzle. In this 3-hour to 4-hour game, there is one good puzzle. That's it. That's all I can say. And for people who don't like who played it before, it involves water and a box. That's all I say. Like a box that you can stand on to get more height. Fuck, man. Like, it's talk about brain dead. Like, fuck me.
Right.
I was like, it's a weird thing. Was like, oh, the tone of this scene is really interesting, but literally the puzzle is me making sure I walk in time with these other people walking and then stop when they stop and turn around when they turn around. Like, literally just parroting these people and then continuing. And as the goal of like showing, it's like this it looks like picture, it's not this, so it's not really a spoiler. I'll describe it like in a roundabout terms. Imagine a production line where things are moving from left to right and they stop and there's an action done to them, right? And then they continue moving. So it's like a production where it's like move, stop, something happens, move, stop, something happens, move, stop, something happens. It's like that, but every time you stop, you need to do something with the controller. You have to like face a particular direction or like make a particular action. It does that, but like you see it happen like fucking 3 times before you get there. Then you get there yourself and you just do this like 5 seconds of button input and then you continue to the next one. And then you wait for that one 3 times before you get there. And then you do that one with like for 5 to 10 seconds. And you can, like, that's an example of a inverted commas puzzle in this fucking puzzle game. Like, what the fuck?
I don't know. It just, I always thought of Limbo and it looks like this as like an artistic short film. Like, right?
Yes.
It's, I enjoyed them from time to time, but also like, I would kill myself if that was the only medium of entertainment I enjoyed, right?
Yeah. So that's, yes, and that's a perfect time to get to it. That's just gameplay. So in terms of gameplay, there was only one good puzzle, and one puzzle that was really interesting. Like, I really enjoyed what it did with, like, creating a matter of suspense. Like, there's this character that can like stalk you and you have to like lure them around the place to get through a door, and there's a cool machine that you have to that has a really interesting effect in the environment around it, and then you have to like kind of avoid. So there's, I'd say, 3 good sequences in this 4-hour game, one of which is a good puzzle. Everything else is just mediocre at best. So gameplay wise not impressive at all. to me. Not at all. Not even fucking remotely impressive. Even the good puzzle is only good in the context of this game with mediocre to shit puzzles. In a good puzzle game like fucking Witness, that would have been fucking baby mode bullshit, right? Total waste of time, baby mode stuff. There was... Coming from The Witness, where there was a puzzle, and I showed it to you, Noob, on YouTube, at the end of the game, where it took me like fucking 45 minutes of just staring at the screen to solve. That was incredibly fun, and like by the end of the time, I felt like I actually fucking achieved something. When I figured out the only good puzzle in this game, I was like, oh yeah, okay, I should, yeah, sure, whatever, that's fine. Okay, and moved on. That's it. That's the only reaction I got from that. So gameplay-wise, not impressive. So visuals great, music solid, gameplay-wise, definitely not impressive. This story fucking pissed me off in a way that I could not have fucking... Oh my god. So, and it's the thing that people are praising. So it's like, maybe I just... It's just not for me. Like, the core principles, maybe it's just not for me. Maybe someone out there who has a very, you know... I don't want to be mean. I don't want to say like, oh, you've never seen anything, you've never read 1984, or like you've never seen fucking Akira, or like you've never seen anything interesting.
It's like this is your intro to dystopia.
Yeah, this is your intro to dystopia. This is dystopia 101.
Right.
Baby's first dystopia novel. Like fucking it's oh my god. So I don't want to that sounds mean. It's not. No, it is that bad. It's... I can see why you didn't enjoy it. I don't want to disparage you. It's like the same reason I'm like, oh, okay, I can see why someone likes Twilight. Or like, fucking... It doesn't do it for me. But without ruining the ending and the overall like plot development, there's something about it that I really, really, really dislike. And this is my core... like. In spite of the gameplay, in spite of like all the other stuff about this game, this is my core problem with this game and why I think it's fucked that this thing's getting much praise it is, because I don't know why this merits that. So you start the game in a forest, moving left to right, and you're running away from things and you're in danger and stuff, right? But at no point through the entire game, aside from the opening moments where you're running away from people and animals, are you ever given a reason for why you were heading from left to right? More importantly, at multiple stages during the game, it was made abundantly clear to the main character that there was no reason to go from left to right, and you probably don't want to go that way anyway. In fact, you probably want to be going the opposite direction to where you're going. There is no reason for you to go forward, and yet he continues to complete the game. You go from left to right.
Right.
More, and then you start adding things to that. There are multiple points in this game where the way forward is obfuscated by some form of environmental thing, like something like, imagine a landslide. So you're going through a forest and a landslide happens. This doesn't happen in the game. But imagine that, right? You're going through a forest, landslide happens. There's no... So not only do you not have a reason to go past a landslide, but you definitely have no reason to go into the small crack in the wall cave and just navigate through that for no fucking reason in a direction that doesn't seem like it's going in the direction you're originally heading to get to the other side. Like, this is, why would you do that? Why would you get into this machine and go off in the opposite direction where you're going just to circle back around? You wouldn't have known that you could circle back around. There's no way that you knew that below this building there was this water fucking, like, there's this grating system that you could get through. Like, nothing makes sense. Nothing. There's no reason for anything to be there. Things are underwater for apparently no reason, because above them is solid ground. Like, it's with like forests and stuff. That's not like it's just. It doesn't make sense. This game doesn't make sense. Nothing in this game makes sense.
Wait, do you know about the alternate ending?
No, that's the only thing I haven't seen yet.
Okay.
Is it all a dream? Is that the alternate ending?
Kinda. Okay. A little bit, not really.
I'm not surprised. Sort of, maybe a little. That's the only way it makes sense. I'm gonna watch it now. and just continue talking while doing so. So like,
right.
you that's kind of it. Like it gets to the point where enough, there's no reason to care about the main character because he has no actual character. He's just a kid. He's just doing things for no reason and running right. things for no, like everything's trying to kill you. It's, I don't know why you would continue to go towards the thing that is trying to kill you. Are you trying to die? You have the part of like, oh, he goes into like nooks and crannies and like roundabout ways to places to go forward in a way that he wouldn't have known to go forward and doesn't make sense as to why he would go forward. And then beyond that, you have things like what I said before, like the way the world has three dimensionality to it, and multiple cases in this, you would imagine that the any logical, rational thing, person, anything in this situation would have gone into the screen to do that thing in the background. Like, for example, there's a ledge that's slightly too high for you to get up, and there's a box that's weirdly like a different color to the background in a very far off, hard to reach area. But you know, 1 meter, and this is an actual situations game, no spoilers because it's fucking not even a thing, 1 meter into the screen, so in a game where you can only move in two directions, into the screen is a fridge. An actual fucking fridge that's plenty high enough to use as a fucking foothold to get up that fucking ledge. Can you go over there and, you know, just tip over the fridge and just shove it over to the ledge? No. You have to go up and around and across all this fucking thing and across this beam and use these fucking machines to get that single weirdly colored box to fall so you can push it over the ledge and get up there.
Right.
So it doesn't... It institutes rules for no reason, has no reason for progression, and then brings you across, like puts you across multiple scenarios where the lie is put to the rules and reason. And I hate that. I can't fucking stand it. I can't fucking stand. Why do people like that? What's there about something that makes no sense that makes people think, oh, that's an artistic masterpiece? That's something that, I've never seen a game like this. It raises so many questions. Fuck you. No, it doesn't. It doesn't raise fucking questions. It just presents you a thing that doesn't make sense, then acts as if like you have to give a fuck about it at the end. Like, what the fuck are you? All right, so I'm watching the alternate ending. I finally found a clip of the alternate ending. It's a dude talking into the fucking... Oh, God. No, this isn't the alternate ending. It can't be the alternate ending. Maybe it is. I can't. He's dying. Okay. All right, I haven't seen this area before. All right. I'm fast-forwarding this to give me an idea of what's happening. You get all this little stuff. Okay, no, he didn't actually. He just showed you how to... Can you link me to the alternate ending? I can't fucking find it now. This is just annoying now. I apologize for people at home. I'm going to close this. I'll watch it after.
It's this. The alternate ending is this.
All right. I apologize for people here, but I need closure. I need closure on this.
Yeah.
What do you have any questions about Inside? Like, why I do this?
I mean, I already know that I don't want to play this game. I don't really need to be convinced otherwise. And clearly, you're not in the position to say that I should be playing this. It's like, you know, I like David Lynch films. I like David Cronenberg films. I like Paul Thomas Anderson films. I like symbolism in my fiction.
Yeah,
that's fine, but. It's like, it's so, in video games, I just find it's usually so banal and simplistic that it's just, it's better if it doesn't, they don't bother with it. Just because it's like, I don't know.
It's not like I've not played a short indie game that hasn't had a good story. That's not the case at all. But if, I can't imagine...
I would skip to about 1:30.
Because I literally just got there myself. It makes me wonder why this was a game.
Just because people like Limbo, successful.
And more important, like, if you were to make this a game, you had complete control over everything you can do. Why would you make situations where the logic doesn't make sense? Right, like, you had control over the environment. You didn't have to put that fridge there in the example I put in before. Is this literally the alternate ending?
That's the alternate ending.
Was that the alternate ending?
That was the alternate ending. It was a dream.
Oh, it wasn't a dream. There's a reason for
that. It wasn't a dream, no.
There's a reason for that. There's stuff. Fucking that game. It has some interesting ideas. It has some interesting stuff for like...
Well, you were controlling him all along. Do you get it, Sonic?
Yeah.
Do you get it? Oh my god! What a deconstruction of video games!
Fuck you inside. Yeah. People need to read more.
Or watch films that are not Transformers.
Watch more films. Yeah. If people are impressed by this, just makes me... I would love to see a good reason for why this is impressive. I like reviews because they don't have they're not spoilered, right? They're spoiler free, right? I haven't seen one yet that's given me a reason for caring.
There's probably going to be some shitty essay on Polygon about why this is revolutionary on game storytelling.
Absolutely. I've seen some like really sad and warmed posts on NeoGAF already. There's a spoiler thread on NeoGAF. And of course, everyone for the first couple pages is just fucking jizzing all over this game. and like, oh, this is incredible. I can't believe that ending. Oh my god, the last 2 minutes are amazing. Like, fuck you. Fuck you. Haven't you not seen Akira? Like, that's not really a big spoiler. If you've seen the ending of Akira, which is nothing like the ending of this game, but that has some similarities, like, the similarity is something that seems kind of manageable and normal, and maybe at the very edge of manageable, becomes like this weird, crazy, over-the-top thing that you would never have seen coming. That's kind of the trajectory of the end of this game. People love that about Akira. Like, do you like that about Akira? Like, have you seen it, Akira?
I have seen it.
Did you enjoy that ending?
I was fine with it. I don't have particularly strong... People say it's like a classic, and I totally agree with the classic. It's not the kind of anime for me. Right. Not enough boobies.
I don't get the whole, this is talking about Akira. The dude turns into a giant blob thing and fucking rampages and whatever, and you kill it. Like, that's... Like, what the fuck? Okay, sure. It's not meaningful. Hasn't told me anything about... Like, maybe it's only meaningful through metaphor. Maybe these people love it because there's some metaphor I'm not getting.
No. The analogy, like, for that alternate ending is exactly what I said.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
People think that's super intelligent and amazing when it's not. It's like a fucking basic trope, almost. It's just the bottom line of, like, I took literary fiction in first year, so this is my contribution to, I don't know.
That's exactly it. Because there's that ending, that alternate ending is set up midway through the game with one of the puzzles. And you see how that works, like the system of like linking stuff works. And it's not, like, you could have guessed it by that point already. In fact, I had guessed it. I was like, oh, this is, I'm expecting this out of the ending. Like, sorry, if this is the ending, I wouldn't be surprised. The actual ending has nothing to do with that. It's very fucking different and really weird. And this makes more sense to me than that ending, when neither are interesting. Neither are interesting. Both are, as you said, like fucking first year literary student, this is dystopic future bullshit, which doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense. And no reason's given for any of it. Why are those people in a massive complex?
How many times do you think will be written on video game sites everywhere, a deconstruction of what video games are through storytelling? How many times do you think you're going to hear the word deconstruction because people don't know what that word means anymore?
I bet there's already getting a couple, so there's probably already a number for it. Fucking hell. And like Brad Shoemaker, who's like, oh, I could definitely see where the 4 years of development time went. I can't. Can you show me?
No, I can't. I could have written this in an overnight essay. Like, that's the quality of what you're describing right now.
Well, like, sorry, but... wait, is it the graphics that are just a slight twist on Limbo? That's what took 4 years? Or is like...
How about color palette of red and different shades of gray?
Yeah, that's... Oh, I've never seen that before. Or, you know, like music I think is great. Like, I won't say, like, okay, timing that, yeah, well done. But that doesn't take 4 years. That doesn't take 4 years. What? The puzzles certainly didn't... If the puzzle took 4 years, then you have problems. Like, you have serious problems in your gameplay design team if those puzzles
took 25 people 25 employees and took 4 years to make that. Think about that.
I don't know. People really like it. It's like the RX480. It's good.
I think maybe we're just fucked up. Maybe, like, we thought, you know, Tales of the Borderlands was the best game, story-wise, to come out.
The way we played it was, I can't speak, I think a lot of people just played, like, Goody Two-Shoes, and I strongly suspect that that game doesn't hold up if you just play Goody Two-Shoes. But no, like, in a world where Uncharted 4 came out and actually pushes forward what video games can say about video games, and then, like, the different mediums, sorry, the different genres, and you can't really compare the two, but in terms of quality of storytelling, the bar was raised a couple of years ago, fellows. You need to, if this is impressing you today, I apologize. I'm sorry, guys. Someone will probably say the same thing about things I enjoy. I don't know. People will probably like, oh, superpowers is just like a soap opera for superheroes. No, that book's pretty good. I don't know. It might be all just about taste, but let's just say Inside wasn't for mine. I'll invite Thurbleton. He can come back now. I'll invite Thurbleton. I'll talk to you. Did you see the ending? Have you seen the actual ending?
I saw the ending, yeah. The actual ending, too.
What were your thoughts? Without ruining it, what were your thoughts? Okay.
So it's like, oh, freedom at last! Oh, great. I love it. That's so great. Oh, and he's finally free. Oh, wow. Oh, what is a human being when it's confined? Oh, so amazing.
That's pretty much it.
Hey, guys, I'm back.
Hey, so we've just discussed about how Inside is a really good game. It's revolutionary for storytelling. Right. Not in just the medium of video games, but I would say...
I just realized a conundrum.
Go ahead.
I'm going to have to beat Inside before I edit this.
That noobs
were
done, actually.
It's like a 2-3-hour story. It's like a 3-hour story.
We actually didn't spoil anything.
Oh, I mean, we just said the alternate ending, and then I said that thing. And that was it.
Yeah, we just said that there was an alternate ending.
Moving on!
And, yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever. That game's fucking average. Anyway, that's it. That's all I had this week. Inside, more shopping for video cards, still not completed. And Superpowers, which was fantastic. People should read it if they have time on their hands to read a book. It is fucking really good. And with that, anything else for anything else?
No.
No? Don't, please. Please don't play Pokemon Go, but at the same time, if you want to play Pokemon Go, just live your life and have fun.
Yeah, just do whatever, man. Live free.
Live free. Maybe you'll discover a dead body in a lake.
That was a really fun... I'm so happy we had that discussed on this podcast. I didn't know that was a thing. And with that, we're just going to move on to plugs before wrapping up the show. So, Noobarama, any plugs this week?
PC Gaming Hub. That's it, as always.
Cool. Thurbleton.
Mine would, of course, be Fitzpackerton, available on Teddy Deef's itch.io page.
/Fitz.
Just Google it. Fitz Packerton. FITZ Packerton. PACKERTON.
Yeah.
Or look in the links.
This is like one of those rare cases where, like, most of the time we make plugs that just aren't things we discuss in the show. But no, I'm with you, though. Like, Superpowers. That's my plug. It's on Audible. Or you can get the book for like $3 or whatever, Amazon. It is fucking great. Definitely check it out if you have time for some superhero fiction in your life. It's probably my favorite piece of superhero fiction that I've read. Yeah, that I've actually read. Aside from TV shows, obviously, and movies, which I didn't read. But my favorite superhero book series, including the ones by some of the best authors of all time, like, for example, Steelheart and a bunch of others. This is fantastic. So with that, thank you for listening to this episode of the Scotchcast. We've been all over the place. We've talked about a lot of different disparate things in this episode.
Yes, we have.
But anyway, we'll catch you again in 2 weeks. See you next time. Bye.